and fences over brats and beer.
Bringing our state together will take some time, but I want to start out right away. In fact, next week I'm going to invite all the members of the state legislature, Republican and Democrat alike. And what better way to bring people together than to invite them over for some brats and some burgers, right? And maybe a little bit of good Wisconsin beer as well.
In California, voters in San Diego and San Jose voted to reduce retirement benefits for city workers. A statewide initiative in California to raise the tax on cigarettes by a dollar a pack remains too close to call. New York City's iconic Waldorf Astoria Hotel is hosting thousands of new guests and hopes to make it a honey of a deal. Honeybees have taken up residence, and the hotel plans to harvest its own honey. This is NBC News Radio. 22 people are dead and at least 50 wounded after two suicide bombers blew themselves up in a market area in southern Afghanistan. The Taliban is claiming responsibility. In Pennsylvania, the trial for Jerry Sandusky on child molestation is underway. NBC's Brian Moore says 9 jurors have already been selected.
Despite intense media coverage, the judge decided jurors will be allowed to come and go from their own homes.
He said he's trusting them to not be sequestered, and he reminded them, and he said, I quote, the people selected to be jurors in this case hold justice in their hands.
The judge wants opening statements on Monday. You know, a week ago, the Boston Celtics were too old, and the Miami Heat was unstoppable. But oh, how their fortunes have changed. The Celtics beat the Heat last night, 94-90, to take a 3-2 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm Scott Walterman. NBC News Radio.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance has got me reflecting a bit. You know, about all the places I've been so far, all the nice folks I've met, and all the money Geico saved them. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time I saved somebody money on car insurance, I could retire tomorrow. But then, I'd have to stop my journey across America. I'd never get to visit Collinsville, Illinois, and see the world's largest bottle of ketchup. But there's no way I'm going to miss that.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Did you know that a clean engine helps improve fuel economy? Did you know that reduced engine deposits help improve fuel economy? Cleaner intake valves? That helps improve fuel economy, too. That's why all Exxon and Mobil gasoline is specifically formulated to help clean intake valves and vital engine parts. To help your engine run cleaner, smoother, produce less emissions, and get better fuel economy. Learn more at fuelprogress.com. Exxon and Mobil. Gasoline that works smarter for you. Think clean.
Investors large and small who tried to get in on the early moments of trading Facebook stock, then got burned by technical glitches, may be getting some answers today and some good news. Nasdaq OMX Group, which operates the Nasdaq exchange on which Facebook trades, will make an announcement today detailing plans for compensating some banks and trading firms. That, according to the Wall Street Journal, losses suffered by the glitches are estimated to be more than $100 million. A warning from the defense contracting industry to Congress. Get a deficit reduction package passed or watch massive job cuts. This coming from three of the biggest defense industry firms, Lockheed Martin, Boeing, and Northrop Grumman, referring to $50 billion in automatic spending cuts that will kick in if a budget impasse is not overcome. The European Commission is proposing new powers for banking regulators designed to head off new crises before they happen. Markets like that, European stocks jumping as much as 3%, S&P futures up 1%. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
So, Dr. Morisi, as an economist, you're saying business leaders don't understand the true cost of documents?
They just don't get it. Unmanaged printers and MFPs, dysfunctional document workflow, it's profit-killing chaos.
So what's the answer?
Kyocera. With intelligent printers and MFPs, customized apps and services, Kyocera helps companies run more profitably.
Yeah. Dr. Marie, so go from chaos to Kyocera.
Hey, that's my line.
Learn more at KyoceraDocumentSolutions.com. State Farm Insurance.
Are you the one who bought my husband a Falcon?
Excuse me?
You saved my husband over $480 by switching to State Farm, and he bought a Falcon with it.
How awesome is that?
We can't control what our customers do with their savings.
Stop buying him frivolous things.
What do you want me to do?
Buy me frivolous things.
Save an average of $480 when you switch your auto policy to State Farm. Get to a better state. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM today. Average household savings based on 2010 National Survey of New Policyholders reported savings by switching to State Farm.
This Father's Day, why get Dad one gift when you can get him 10?
Hold on, I'll explain.
Hurry into Napa and save 75% on a gear wrench standard and stubby ratcheting wrench set. Just $34.99. 10 pieces in all. Dad'll think you love him 10 times more than usual. You just tell him Napa does too. Nothing says Father's Day like standard and stubby. Offer expires 6/30/12. See participants.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Trevino.
Good morning, everybody. It is D-Day, the 6th day of June 2012. We're going to walk you through that in just a moment. If you are a Democrat and you care about democracy, today is not a red banner day. Today is not a day that we brag. Today is not a day that we feel proud about, because in Wisconsin, the voters there have voiced their opinion at the polls, and they have decided overwhelmingly that Scott Walker should retain and continue on as their governor. In fact, every recall race went to the Republicans. You've got to give them their due for this. Now, listen, this is certainly a testimonial to what money will get you, but they were still able to get out the vote. And they were still able to win, so we can spin this any way we want, and I'm sure some will, I won't. The bottom line is, Democrats lost, and for those of you that believe this is because Barack Obama didn't go to Wisconsin and campaign for the Democrat, if people think it's because the Democratic National Committee didn't get behind this early enough or didn't send enough money, think again. Think again. This wasn't about that. It was always and should always be about Wisconsinites, and the people have spoken. We'll get into this, I assure you, in greater detail a little bit later on in this hour. This morning at 7 o'clock, we will visit with Bill Foster. Bill is the author of a book called Teabagged, a local guy, lives in Dearborn, and very much looking forward to visiting with him. A charming book, if you will. At 7:35, Steve Cook, president of the Michigan Education Association, joins us with some good news. Cautiously good news, but good news all the same, because sometimes even when Republicans pass laws, as we've found out more than once already, they do it in an unconstitutional fashion. And today an injunction will come down that will allow them to return some sanity to the collective bargaining process. Stephen Anderson, I'm sorry, Occupy Detroit will be with us as well. Stephen Anderson joins us just after 8 o'clock as we've got a handful of issues to get through. And last but not least, Lori Lamorand will be joining us from Planned Parenthood on a day of action. We're going to need some help, and they're going to be reaching out to us to help them today. And we'll get to all of that as time goes on. But let me just kind of get on with what we got to do, because I do want to mention D-Day, and I'm going to do it this way.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Well, D-Day will be our first word. We're just going to go with that. Folks, are you aware of that there is actually controversy as to what the D stands for? Was it disembarkment? Was it departed? Well, it doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, on June 6, 1944, a triumph of intelligence, coordination, secrecy, and planning A bold attack was also a tremendous risk that we now know was the difference in World War II. Ultimately, it succeeded because of individual soldiers' bravery in combat, and there's so much really to learn about D-Day. You know, this is one of those quote-unquote holidays, or should be a holiday, that we don't give its proper due. D-Day was critical. Although we lost 20,000 people on D-Day, many, many more survived, and of course the success of D-Day was about eliminating the whole process of World War II in every way, shape, or form. Without D-Day, we would not have been able to succeed in the way we did. Some fascinating facts surrounding D-Day. And I really want to encourage you to go out and read more about it. Some 4,000 tons of oil used that day alone. I'm sorry, fuel, not oil. Fuel used that day alone. 150,000 Allied soldiers landed on the shores of Normandy. And the decisions that were made prior to that, dropping 20,000 bombs just before they landed on Normandy. 30,000 vehicles, 13,000 men were parachuted in. Folks, the massive, massive effort that was D-Day is something that we should all be very, very proud of. So whether it is disembarkment, whether it is departed, we do know one thing. It was the difference. It was the difference, and certainly many, many men and women around the world should be very proud of what happened on D-Day. All right, that's today's first word. I certainly want to give due where credit where it's due. And, you know, so many good stories. In fact, if you want to search Google PBS D-Day, read the stories. It'll pop right up. Read the stories that are there. Sometimes we need to be mindful of those that have fought, even for those of you that think war is unconscionable. There have been times in our history where we had to do the right thing. This was one of them. I get that some of you will disagree with me, and I'm okay with that. But we have to thank those that made a difference. And there are still many in this country that are alive and well. Thank you very much. Not as many as there were once were, obviously, but we have much to be proud of as it comes to freedom in this country. D-Day, such an important part of our American history. Good morning, Jeffrey. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing well, thank you.
I think certainly continuing to honor your uncle's service to our country, my oldest son's service to our country and others, certainly D-Day a part of that history, and I would bet if we were to sit down with your uncle at this point and say to him, hey, how important was D-Day to the work you do? He would say, oh, all these innovations. He would know stuff, of course, you and I would have no clue about. But I bet you D-Day was a critical component to a lot of things the military did moving forward. I would bet that's true.
He is a very astute student of U.S. history. In fact, the book he was reading was about, when I was down there, it was it looked like a phone book. It was huge, and it's all about American history and what's gone along the lines. And not that he doesn't know, he's just that interested to learn even more details that he hasn't picked up along the way or whatever.
I when I was in college, I was very, very fortunate. I had a couple different history professors that were really, really into American history. I mean, really into American history. And I had one, his name was Dr. Michael Yavendetti, and he got up, and the very first words that came out of his mouth is, watch the chalk on the chalkboard. Okay? So he takes a piece of chalk, and he writes, there is a future in history. And so he turns around, and he says, who knows what that means? And, you know, I was a freshman of first day of class, might have been my very first class in college, Jeff, and we're all just kind of, you know, we don't know each other, we're just kind of looking at each other. And he went on to talk about how we are destined to repeat the horrible things in history if we don't learn from them, which, of course, is the connection to there is a future in history, which, of course, makes total sense when you understand the context.
And so when we look at especially something like D-Day, so amazingly significant, and you know, we say, well, 20,000 men died that day alone, Jeff. Within hours, we lost 20,000 people. Well, Allied troops, not just Americans, but Allied troops. Within hours of landing on Normandy, you think, wow, that's just a, it's an unfathomable number. But 150,000 survived, and you know, of course, it was the beginning of the end of World War II. So. It's just an amazing, amazing slice of history. No question about that. So, yeah, I'm telling you, I had a couple college professors that were that really did bring history alive. And if you've not had an educator that's done that for you, I don't care what the subject is. I don't care if it's math or science or history, whatever it is, Jeff. Man, when you've got a good professor that's really passionate, it really does change the subject matter, I think, for the students a great deal.
No, I'd agree with that. I'm still lost on what's a chalkboard. Just kidding.
I think they still have them. Yeah, they do. I've been in a classroom the last year. They still have chalkboards. They mostly use them. Actually, I just don't think they've taken them off the walls yet. That's all. I'm curious in new schools if they do put in chalkboards.
I don't think so. They have whiteboards. And projection screens.
Projection screens everywhere. And in fact, motorized, they come down actually from the ceiling and then they'll go back, you know, they'll go back into the ceiling.
Which is kind of too bad. I mean, what do you give the kids to do, you know, when you punish them? You used to have to, you know, take them.
They're going to take their iPad away.
Oh, okay. Because they used to make us at least go, you know, take all the, chalkboard erasers and stamp them out, right?
Yeah, you had to go clean them outside. And you got in trouble if you beat them up against the building. Then you had to clean the side of the building as well.
Oh, see, now we didn't get in trouble for that. I was going to say, I can remember the big giant chalk messes on the side of the building.
Oh, no, that was not allowed. I went to a Catholic school for a while, dude. They were very strict about certain things. That was one of them. All right, we'll take a quick break. A lot to get to. Obviously, Wisconsin will be at the top of our agenda. We'll quickly, very quickly, check in with the Detroit Tigers in our own crazy way. Wow, they suck. That'll tell you something. We'll take the break 17 minutes after the hour. I'm Tony Truppiano. First Shift continues right after this.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Hot dog. Yep, that's me.
Yeah, no shame in my game. You can almost get that here and now.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic. Don't forget Finkel is still closed east of Livernois due to that water main repair work. But we do have some good news. That road construction on 26 Mile Road in both directions between North Avenue and Gratiot is complete. And that road is reopened. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 77 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy and 56. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 80, and it's currently 51 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Let me welcome to First Shift Representative Richard Hamilton.
Now, to give a bill into immediate effect, which means the bill would take effect directly after the governor signs the bill, unless there's something within the bill that is a provision for it to be extended. But the Constitution clearly says that if 20% or one-fifth of the members in the House of Representatives want to have a record roll call vote on an immediate effect, that that should be granted. And we have not had the ability at all in this last little bit to be able to have a record roll call vote on immediate effect. I'll say not ever all. There's less than five times in the 560 times we passed the bill where we've had immediate effect votes. So at least slow the process down a little bit. Doesn't change the legislation. Doesn't say that people can't pass things that they want. Majority parties have that ability in that center, but we say the Constitution says that you should have the opportunity to slow it down just a hair.
On 1310, WDTW. Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He's come over.
Interact with other listeners.
Hello, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
Ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
First word. First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after the hour. Welcome back. Tigers lose 4-2 last night to the Cleveland Indians. They're not playing good baseball. They're just not playing good baseball. They're not hitting the ball. And when you don't hit the ball, you know, listen, to have four runs scored against you is not that big a deal. And when you've got the kind of offensive firepower on paper that this Detroit Tigers club does, four runs should not be insurmountable. It is. Now, there's no question about it. And things are not getting better. They just aren't getting better. And that is what it is. Your thoughts, Jeff?
Yeah, that's part of it. And another part of it is the inability to execute simple parts of baseball that I would expect pros to be able to do. Turning double plays at key moments and staying out of situations. You know, like you said, four runs isn't that insurmountable, but... And I really hesitate to criticize the pitching at all when your run support isn't there. But the pitchers put themselves in these situations as well. I mean, we're in a series against Cleveland now. Last night was the first game, but you're putting out three of your least desirable pitchers. Scherzer's side. Scherzer's probably the most well known. I mean, Smiley's had a good year so far, and then the third pitcher will be. Casey Crosby, who got killed his major league debut against the Yankees. But so there's no Verlander, no Fister, no Porcello, and you got to come through. And as well as Smiley pitched, he also put himself in situations where it allowed Cleveland to score four runs for the in-game. So nothing's working well. And I wonder how long it's going to take till I've been a staunch defender of just waiting. You know, like, oh, it's only 40 games. Let's wait till they start. When is the level where something big has to happen?
That's a great question, and define something big. I know you can't. What is it?
Well,
is
I'm going to try.
Manager? I mean, do you bring somebody up from the minor leagues, which we've already done? Is it time for a trade? Do you get rid of the hitting coach? Because I don't think the hitting coach is the problem here. What is something big, Jeff?
I think that it'll have to be, and I know that Dave Dombrowski, you read the article probably, where he came out and said, look, there's just nothing available. But I think it is a trade, and I don't know that it'll solve anything. I don't know that it'll make them that much better, but a move to make a move kind of thing where it's not a drastic move. Like, I think firing Leland firing the hitting coach, I said yesterday, I think is a division between the powers that be that lead this team. You fire McClendon, then basically you're putting notice that Leland's done as well. Because I don't think Leland wants, you know, him and McClendon and Lamont are really close. If they leave on their own, like Lamont almost took the Red Sox job,
right,
that's fine. But if they fire McClendon, you've lost Leland, or you basically are cutting ties with him as well.
We'll continue, of course, to watch this unfold. It's just at some point, there's no, again, on paper, Jeff, there's no reason why this club shouldn't be winning games, and they're not. They're just not.
Have you noticed, this is real quick, the Cubs have thrown their shortstop under the bus a lot lately, and there's trade rumors swirling around him. Starlin Castro is his name, and he's a career 300 hitter. I don't know what it would take, but I'm getting to the point now where I'm starting to be okay with them putting together a package of good young players to go after a guy like that. Where I think Castellanos is untouchable, but I'm less concerned about them putting Jacob Turner or some of these other high name younger guys in a package and trying to go after that guy.
Well, you know, we may see. You know, Dave Dombrowski basically, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, gave his coaching staff his seal of approval. Not that doesn't mean he can't change his mind an hour later, Jeff, because he can.
How do you feel about them? Are you good with Leland, McClendon, and
I actually am. I don't think this is coaching, to be honest with you. I'm having some. You know, I'm having some issues. There's a chemistry issue, I think. There's no question. There's some concern there. I'm not a fair weather fan when it comes to baseball, although I'm just a homie. And I've said this so many times. I'm a hometown guy. I don't follow baseball in other cities. I just don't. But when you only follow baseball in your city and, you know, you go into a year thinking, okay, this is going to be a really solid year. I wasn't giving them the World Series, Jeff. I'm realistic. I understand you got to play the games and all that. It's disappointing. I have no desire to even turn on a game. I don't even attempt to watch baseball right now. And I just because I don't want to get aggravated.
No, I can completely understand that. I actually was re-motivated to try and watch some of last night's game because it's Cleveland. Like, I mean, that's starting to be a really – that's one of those series, that, you know, and I think the White Sox series will be one of those. Those are the two series that you basically – you turn on and you just hope for the best, and when it starts going gloomy, then you get discouraged. But very interesting as well. Did you know the Major League Baseball draft is currently going on?
I did know that, and I know the Tigers picked up a couple Texas high school teammates yesterday.
Teammates?
Yeah, I think they're teammates.
I saw they're both from Texas. I did not know.
Yeah, according to the Free Press article, they're teammates.
I think they were teammates on traveling leagues. I don't think they're from the same high school.
I'm just going with what
right. No, I mean that still makes them teammates. So I'm not. Whatever. I didn't know that they were on the traveling team together. But anyway. And the best thing is both of them were on Twitter very excited about being Tigers, which one of them's committed to going to Oklahoma State. So I guess maybe he's already ditched that commitment and he's ready to come on board. But very cool that they're that enthusiastic about being Tigers. But it's interesting, though. What do you think the biggest holes on this team are? And even heading into the future, I would say middle infielders.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not catchers. They got a ton of catchers in the system. Like, every level has catchers.
Which they didn't have a couple years ago.
Right. They went heavy catcher, for the last couple of drafts. Pitching, I think, is pretty decently rich. Outfield is loaded. You know, Avisail Garcia and Daniel Fields and even Castellanos, because he's not going to be able to play third if Miguel's still here. They're thinking about moving him to left field next year. They just promoted him to double A, by the way.
Yes.
So outfield is loaded. Pitching is loaded. Catching is loaded. I would think middle infield would be where you go, and yet the first six picks I saw, five of them were pitchers and one was an outfielder.
Wow. And you know you can never have enough good pitching, right?
No, you can always use that's Dombrowski's whole bread and butter. He's used pitching in trades to get guys he actually wants. So,
well, we're going to cross our fingers and hope things go well. Listen, I want to mention this very quickly before we get to the break, and then after the break, of course, on Wisconsin. But K2. Which has now been banned in Wayne County as well. And if you want to follow the story, certainly you can follow it online. We're not going to get into it in a big way today. But I got an email yesterday from a listener's kid who is 20 years old. So it's her son and her kid. He's not a kid by any measure. And I'm not going to use the last name, but he says, hey, I am Laura's son, and I have been discussing this with my mother, K2 that is. And I have to say that people need to stop calling synthetic marijuana K2. K2 is a brand of spice or synthetic marijuana. The chemical is JWH, and then it is assigned a number. So it's JWH, whatever the number is. And that is what is causing the high. It is because it is a research chemical that can change, and the numbers just in a small interval, he writes, to avoid laws. JWH, and again, whatever the number is what you should research and talk about. Thank you for your time. I thank Tim for writing me. Indeed, I did go on. There is a lot of information on there on the internet about JWH. It is where the conversation should be going. And so I want to thank Joshua for turning me on to that information, and I'm glad that I was able to share it with you. When we come back, we'll hear Scott Walker's victory speech, and talk about the lumps the Democrats have to take. So how deserved is it? We'll get to that when we continue.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, we do have our first major problem of the morning. It's on M14 eastbound at 275. You have an overturned semi that's blocking that ramp to 275 northbound. Don't forget about that closure of Finkel east of Livernois due to water main repair work. And some good news, 26 Mile Road in both directions between North Avenue and Gratiot is wide open. That construction has been completed. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Sweeten up your day with a McDonald's frozen strawberry lemonade. Sweet strawberries and tangy lemons mixed together for a unique drink every time. Starting at just $1.69. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 77 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy and 56. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 80, and it's currently 51 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Joining us now from Working America is Fran Brennan.
And when our organizers go into neighborhoods and knock on our neighbors' doors, most people are not being heard. They feel frustrated. They feel like they're isolated. And we're there to listen and to have them know that there is a capacity to give them a voice, to give them empowerment, and to get them re-engaged into what's going on in both their community and in their state.
On 1310 WDTW.
Not to worry, says one of Wall Street's biggest bankers, for we know what we're doing. No need for fussy regulators to get in our way. What they've been doing is turning their bank's investment division into a betting parlor, shoving billions of borrowed dollars into high-tech speculative trades based on fantasy projections. It worked, at first. But then the bets went bad, and the investment division's staggering losses now endanger the whole bank, which of course is deemed too big to fail. So, we taxpayers are on the hook. If this sounds like the same deja voodoo of the still reverberating 2007 Wall Street collapse, it is. Only, it's 2012, and this high priest of high finance hokum is Jamie Dimon, CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, the nation's biggest financial conglomerate. He and his bank had been hailed as the epitome of Wall Street responsibility after the 2007 crash, because J.P. Morgan did not fail back then. Indeed, with the elegant and erudite Dimon at the helm, this powerhouse was favored with government subsidies and allowed to get even bigger. So Dimon and his high-tech gamblers were able to shoo off government regulators and plunge deeper into financial voodoo, resulting in a loss of at least $3 billion. Yet, the ever-charming Dimon, who is Washington's favorite Wall Streeter, even has a seat on the federal regulatory body overseeing the giant banks. How cozy! He's also been a leading lobbyist against sensible reforms in Congress to rein in mega bank excesses, including the essential need to unhitch us common customers and taxpayers from Wall Street's gambling scams. This is Jim Hightower saying, we must demand that Washington stop coddling these self-serving, too-big-to-fail banksters. For information and action, connect with banksterusa.org.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back indeed. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock. It's not a good morning. I'm not gonna put a shine on something that doesn't deserve a shine. I'm going to get to one of the shiny little buttons that the Democratic National Committee is putting out there today and wanting you to go, ooh, look at that, isn't it pretty? But at the end of the day, Wisconsin, Democrats in Wisconsin lost. Democracy lost yesterday. Money won, but democracy lost, in my opinion. That's my opinion. Now, listen, I'm getting my fair share of conservatives writing me this morning already. Got them overnight. As if somehow I had any skin in this game, which I don't, but that's okay. If you guys want to put the Wisconsin election on me, go ahead and do it. It'll make you feel better. Go ahead. I don't care. I'm fine with that. Democrats lost. They lost. They got trounced, actually. No way to put a positive spin on what happened in Wisconsin yesterday if you are a Democrat. Just, it isn't there. It doesn't exist. So let's not pretend that it's something it's not, because it just doesn't exist. That doesn't mean that it's the end of the world. God forbid, no. Scott Walker. Scott Walker certainly had plenty to say after the polls closed, and this is what he said.
Tonight we tell Wisconsin, we tell our country, and we tell people all across the globe that voters really do want leaders who stand up and make the tough decisions. But now it is time to move on and move forward in Wisconsin. Tomorrow I'll meet with my cabinet in the state's capital, and we'll renew our commitment to help small businesses grow jobs in the state. We'll renew our commitment to help grow the quality of life for all of our citizens, both those who voted for me and those who voted for someone else. Because tomorrow is the day after the election, and tomorrow we are no longer opponents. A few minutes ago, I talked to Mayor Tom Barrett. No. The election is over. I talked to the mayor, and we had a good talk, and I said, I'm committed to working with you to help the city of Milwaukee and to help the state of Wisconsin. Tomorrow, the election is over. It's time to move Wisconsin forward.
All right, I don't believe any of that, just so I were clear on that. Scott Walker is one big piece of brown excrement. No question this guy is that. Okay? Ultra-conservative, right-wing piece of crap. No question that's what he is. Bought and paid for by corporations. He is the epitome of what happens when Citizens United gets to rear its ugly head. All of that is definitively true. But there are other points of view, not just mine. So let's sample some of them. CNN thought I'd go out and talk to some folks in the crowd. This is what they had to say.
Mike volunteered for Barrett, voted today. You say you're very disappointed. A lot of folks here outside the Capitol sharing your opinion tonight.
We're not just disappointed. This is the end of democracy. We just got outspent $34 million to $4 million. This was the biggest election in America, and I hope you keep me on tonight, because this hurts us all. Every single one of you out there in the nation, if you're watching, democracy died tonight.
You're very emotional.
I'm very emotional because we all had a lot invested in this. This was it. If we didn't win tonight, the end of the USA as we know it just happened. That's it. We just got outspent $34 million to $4 million. And we don't have any other resource left but the people you see here behind me. And if the people you see here behind me can't get it done tonight, it's done. Democracy's dead.
I'm not so sure he's wrong. I'm not so sure he's wrong. I'm not convinced that he's 100% right, but I'm not so sure he's wrong. Rachel Maddow, of course, took a look at the early exit polls And this is what she reported early on in the evening.
It again seemed like it was going to be a long night. Those exit polls showing an incredibly close race. They showed that union households in particular were out in force. Union households voting in a higher proportion of the electorate than they had been voting in 2010. And they're voting just as heavily as they did in that previous election for Democrat Tom Barrett over Scott Walker. Exit polls also showed that women were voting in favor of Tom Barrett by a significant margin. Those are two indicators that made it seem like we would be in for a really long night. We had always planned to be on live tonight at midnight Eastern. But frankly, the way we were talking about this thing, in terms of planning our coverage, we weren't even sure we would be able to tell at this late hour, right now, after midnight on the East Coast, who had won this governor's race in Wisconsin. That's how close the race was looking. Possible all-nighter. Maybe even the Today Show tomorrow morning wouldn't be able to help you out with the results. Or maybe the recall of Governor Scott Walker would be actually be decided in a matter of 49 minutes. 49 minutes. 49 minutes after the polls closed in Wisconsin, NBC News declared Scott Walker the projected winner in the Wisconsin governor recall, on track to beat Tom Barrett, the Democratic mayor of Milwaukee, once all the votes are counted. It did not even take an hour. And then 24 minutes after that, NBC News projecting that the Republican lieutenant governor of Wisconsin, the first lieutenant governor to face recall anywhere in America, Rebecca Clayfish, that she would also win her recall election over her Democratic challenger. So it's a huge win for the Republicans in the state of Wisconsin. And it's a real disappointment for the Democrats, who felt that they did have a chance of taking back the governor's office before the end of that governor's first term.
And then Jesse Jackson sat in with my friend Ed Schultz, who I'll be sitting in for Friday, Monday, and Tuesday, and Jesse Jackson had this to say about Wisconsin.
Well, record-breaking votes in Milwaukee and Racine and Madison, and yet much of the rural Wisconsin Democratic base went Republican. That's an interesting dynamic. A second 9-1 spending gap does matter. It really means more super PAC money driving us further and further away from a one-person, one-vote democracy. I'm concerned what it means when collective bargaining will be on the attack wholesale now. The attempt to make right to work laws a national as opposed to regional. And, of course, a gross insensitivity to people who are basically poor whose backs are against the wall.
All right. And we'll close out, and then I'll have my own comments. We'll close out with Jeff's hottie, Sarah Palin, because, she gives me the entree that I was looking for. Go ahead, Sarah. What's on your mind, girlfriend?
I think that the Democrats there understand that the president's no-show represents the fact that Obama's goose is cooked, as more and more Americans realize that what Wisconsin has just manifested via this vote, embracing austerity and fiscal responsibility, is the complete opposite of what President Obama and the White House represents today. They want to grow government.
And then so I get to give Sarah Palin the ass hat of the day award. Why? Because the exit polling shows that President Barack Obama, in spite of Scott Walker winning a re-election handily, Barack Obama leads Mitt Romney in the exit polls by 18 percentage points. So Sarah, Jeff, when you wake her up tomorrow morning, ask her where she gets her information from, because what she said were all lies. Those were lies. It was not just opinion. It was a lie. So when you wake her up tomorrow morning before you come into the studio, would you ask her what that's all about? Please? Jeff, are you out there?
You want me to comment on that? Come on now.
Yeah, of course I do. It's okay. People know that you're dating Sarah Palin. I don't think there's a problem with that.
Okay.
She is an attractive woman. Glenn Rice thought so.
He did.
And, I think she's an attractive woman. She just lies. She's a liar. She's a Republican, which inherently makes her a little bit of a liar. I just find it so funny. We walk away with the exit polls. The only, that's the shiny button that I referenced, Jeff, was the exit polling that shows that President Obama, if the election were to be held today, would beat Mitt Romney in Wisconsin by 18 points. 18 points, Jeff, is a tidal wave, earthquake in proportion victory. I realize the election's not today, so we're not going to let it be the shiny button where we go, ooh, as I said, I'm not going to fall into that trap. But Sarah, Oh, Sarah, once again, you get it wrong. They pay her. Fox News pays her to lie. People do know that, right, Jeff? They do know that they pay, and others, but Sarah Palin would be one that they pay to lie.
I think most people realize she's out for the money, yeah.
Okay, because what she just said, that 30, whatever it was, 21 seconds of Sarah Palin was 21 seconds of her lying. So that's okay. I mean, you can, you know, spin it the way you want to spin it, girlfriend. But at the end of the day, you're a liar. You're a liar. So, yes, democracy died in Wisconsin yesterday. I'm disappointed. So let me leave it with this in the time we have left before we go to break, because we're going to move on after the break. Democracy did die a little bit yesterday in Wisconsin. There's no question that's true. What it did, though, was send a message that we have greater work to do as Democrats. As organized labor, as people that care about democracy, we have now significantly more work to do. I have been telling you that from day one. I'm going to continue to tell you that, and I'm going to deliver that message over and over and over again. Wisconsin is an example of why it's not just enough to show up, why you need to stand up. Now, I'm about to upset a lot of people, but I'm going to say this. This is why the recall of Governor Snyder will not work. The people in Wisconsin were far more passionate about recalling Scott Walker than we've ever been about recalling Rick Snyder. So you need to think long and hard about where you're going to put your energies moving forward. I have an amazing menu of things to worry about. I can't focus on, and nor will I focus on, one issue. I just can't. That's not what I do on this show. But you have to make a choice. Where are you going to put your energy? How are you going to move your world forward? What are you willing to do? Are you willing to sacrifice? Oh, we have so much to talk about. All right, a quick break here. Feel free to join me if you've got some thoughts on Wisconsin or anything else, whatever's on your mind. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. We got to get to the break. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
This is white supremacy, and we will fight you. And before we let you take over our city, we will burn it down.
What the f*** is the matter with you?
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Recently on First Shift.
Jeff, we're going to do a little mock phone call. You up for that?
Sure.
Actually, all you have to do is say, when I pretend like the phone's ringing and you're answering it, just say, hi, this is Senator Johnson's office. Since Bert Johnson happens to be my state senator. So that's all I need for you to do. And I'll take it from there.
All right, I'll see if I got this line down.
Okay. Ring, ring. Apparently not.
You don't answer after the first one. You have to let it go twice.
Ring, ring.
Hi, Senator Johnson's office.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Why are you laughing? Are you going to call laughing?
No, I'm not. Okay.
All right.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671.
That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook, and also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
10 minutes before the top of the hour. Again, feel free to join us. Plenty to get to yet to this hour. 888-552-3595. Tony at TheTonyShow.org, and of course on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. Let's go to Tim in Brownstown. Tim, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony. It's probably a hard day to get up and come to work.
Absolutely not. Nope. I love my job.
My comment was you're calling Sarah Palin a liar.
An asshat and a liar. Yeah.
Because of exit polling you're using.
No. I'm calling her a liar because for what she said, Tim. Let's not be simple-minded now, buddy. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I'm just dumbfounded because you said you have exit polling that shows Obama's ahead, and that's why you're calling her a liar, because the people have spoken in Wisconsin, and you're basing what you believe with exit polling.
Exit polling is exit polling, Tim. Do you even know what exit polling is? Tim, do you even know what it is? Do you know what exit polling is, Tim? Tim, do you know? What is it? Define it for me, Tim. This should be interesting. You said you were dumbfounded. Dumb's a good word there. Define it for me, buddy.
Exit polling is not reliable.
No. Tim, define. Hey, asshat. Define exit polling, Tim. Define exit polling. Tim, define exit polling.
Me too, Tony.
Yes, you do, Tim. It's my frickin' show. Here we are. Shut up. You know what? Here we are a year and 3 months later, and you're as stupid as you were the first time you called this show. Tim, you get stupider with every time you call this show. Even though you haven't called in a year, you've done nothing but dumb yourself down even more. You are astoundingly, astoundingly ignorant. Exit polling shows the president beating Mitt Romney by 18 points. Just because you don't like that and it makes Sarah Palin a liar is inconvenient for you. I get that. And by the way, I had no problem getting out of bed this morning. I'm proud to be a Democrat today, and I realize the work we have to do as we work our way toward November. I would suggest there are people listening to this show right now, Tim, that also get what we need to do between now and November. And I'm relying on dipcraps like you to continue to do what you do, which is nothing. You do nothing. You don't contribute to society. You go to work. You're happy to take your paycheck. You send a percentage. You waste a percentage supporting candidates that absolutely do not represent your best interest. Tim, I want you to continue to do that. I want you to continue to be this ignorant and this stupid, because stupid, son, is what you are. Absolutely astoundingly dumb. When you can't define exit polling because you think it doesn't matter, that tells me everything, Tim, I need to know about you. I'm going to say it again. I know I said it over a year ago. I'm going to say it one more time. Don't call the show again. Don't. Anthony and Jeff now know that you are not welcome to call the show. You don't bring anything to the table. And I don't enjoy, you know, between you and Mark in Birmingham, I just don't enjoy doing this. So now it makes me wonder if you're also getting paid now to call the show. I mean, we determined that Mark is. By the way, Jeff, I don't know if I shared this with you, but I got emails yesterday from very loyal listeners that says Mark calls every progressive show that's heard on this station, which means the national shows, and uses the same arguments every day on every one of the shows when they put them on. So now I think that it's pretty clear that he is getting paid to do this. At first, I didn't think that that's really what was going on, but I think it is now. I think that is exactly what's going on. He calls Hartman. He calls Ed Schultz. So if that's what he wants to do, that's fine. But, you know, we don't need to necessarily entertain that.
So is that what they mean by job creators?
Yeah, there you go. If you do go on Craigslist, you'll find that there are these jobs. I don't know how much they pay. I mean, I don't go that deeply into it. But, you know, I don't get the impression that Mark has a job, to be honest with you. I could be wrong. I just don't get the impression that he has a job. I know Tim has a job. I believe he might even be an auto worker. And I would be embarrassed that he was a UAW. If he is a UAW member, I'd be embarrassed for them, because he's just, obviously he does not represent the average auto worker's point of view. Can you imagine a guy like that sitting with your dad and having a rational conversation, Jeff?
Sitting with any of the auto workers
Thank
I know.
Thank you. I mean, this is just amazing. Tim is just, I don't get it. I don't get it. And Jeff, you'll remember, I used to try to be very nice to him. I did. Because he's not the brightest bulb on the tree. And I used to try to be really, really nice to him because he did a great job of making himself look like he did today. And I was trying to help him out for a long time, but I can't help out somebody that won't help themselves, which clearly he won't. What a shame. What a shame. A grown man. He's kind of reminds me like Mark yesterday. I'm not going to suggest Tim wasn't loved, but I'm kind of hoping he never procreated. I would hate to think Tim has children. Really would. Wow. Although there's a guy, I haven't heard from Alan in a while. Alan, I know you're listening this morning because you listen every morning. Jeff, he writes me all the time how embarrassed he is about his family. A lot of his family are Republicans, and they are Fox News Republicans. And so it just frustrates the bejesus out of him when he's got to go to a family function. Because they just don't, I mean, they don't get it. They just don't get it.
Right, that's what I was thinking when you said that. I was thinking, I know people who came from a racist family, and yet they are appalled by the
thoughts
of their family.
Absolutely, yes. Some people are actually trapped in their families. As I'm sure Anthony's feeling that way about right now himself. But no, I mean, some people are really trapped in their families. And so I get that. I hear from them. I do. I get emails from them. And there's some people that write me and say, I'm glad that my family was actually so dysfunctional because it put me on the right path. Thank God that they were so bad because it made me better. So take that for what it's worth. But anyway, Tim, thanks for helping us waste about 7 or 8 minutes of time today. Sarah Palin, what a gal. What a gal. Years ago, I had the opportunity, Jeff, to turn right, and I turned left. When political talk radio was really starting to grow, there was the owner of one of the networks I was on called me one day and said, you know, I don't, because I was doing general topic radio at the time. He says, you know, I don't get a good feel for where you're at politically. He was a big Second Amendment rights guy. And I had had him on my show. I'm a big believer in the Second Amendment as well. And so anyway, he said, I just can't get a feel for where you're at politically. And I said, oh, I'm a liberal Democrat. He goes, oh, ooh. Hey, would you put some thought into coming over to the other team? Because if you can, I can put you on the map. Just couldn't do it. Oh, well, that's okay. It's too late now. Nothing we can do about it. Let's take a quick break in the next hour, Teabagged. It's a book. You'll learn all about it. Steve Cook, president of the MEA, with some really good news. And we've got the Occupy segment. We're going to talk about Fermi 3. A lot to get to, so you're going to all want to stay where you're at. First Shift will continue after the top of the hour break.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, we do have our first major problem of the morning. It's on M14 eastbound at 275. You have an overturned semi that's blocking that ramp to 275 northbound. Don't forget about that closure of Fingo east of Livernois due to water main repair work. And some good news, 26 Mile Road in both directions between North Avenue and Gratiot is wide open. That construction has been completed. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 77 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy and 56. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 80, and it's currently 51 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. Great Scott, Governor Walker survived the Wisconsin recall, defeating Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett.
Right here on 1310 WDTW.
I talked to the mayor, and we had a good talk, and I said, I'm committed to working with you to help the city of Milwaukee and to help the state of Wisconsin. Tomorrow, the election is over. It's time to move Wisconsin forward.
City workers in San Diego and San Jose, California can look forward to fewer retirement benefits thanks to voter-approved measures yesterday. That dollar-a-pack cigarette tax hike in the Golden State, still too close to call. Mitt Romney adds 5 primary wins to his total, already more than enough to take the GOP nomination. Meantime, President Obama back on the fundraising trail with stops in San Francisco and L.A. And pink slime is flunking out of school. The hamburger filler, treated with ammonia to kill bacteria, getting a thumbs down from the vast majority of states participating in the National School Lunch Program. This is NBC News Radio. U.S. officials say they got their man, confirming the death of al-Qaeda's second-in-command, NBC's Jim Mikluszewski.
U.S. officials are calling this the biggest blow to al-Qaeda since the killing of Osama bin Laden more than a year ago. This was the number 2, Abu Yahya al-Libi.
Al-Qaeda's leader, Ayman al-Zawahiri, is still in hiding. A violent day in Afghanistan where 22 are dead, scores wounded in suicide bombings near Kandahar, the Taliban claiming responsibility. On Wall Street, investors looking to keep the ball rolling after yesterday's modest gains. Stock futures point to a higher open. The Dow still down more than 8% from its 2012 high, NASDAQ down 11%. And a milestone for the brightest light in the lighter industry. Zippo has produced its 500 millionth lighter. The family-owned company in Bradford, Pennsylvania, celebrating by passing it along, hand-to-hand, by each of Zippo's 620 employees. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Smart companies everywhere are getting dressed at Land's End Business Outfitters. We'll embroider your company logo on everything from polos to outerwear. Our quality will unify your team and make your brand better. Small companies to market leaders like Hampton Hotels and Southwest Airlines are dressing their employees at Land's End Business Outfitters. Now let us show you your good name on our good products. Visit landsend.biz. That's landsend.biz.
Did you know that a clean engine helps improve fuel economy? Did you know that reduced engine deposits help improve fuel economy? Cleaner intake valves? That helps improve fuel economy too. That's why all Exxon and Mobil gasoline is specifically formulated to help clean intake valves and vital engine parts. To help your engine run cleaner, smoother, produce less emissions, and get better fuel economy. Learn more at fuelprogress.com. Exxon and Mobil. Gasoline that works smarter for you. Think clean.
Clearly the business of scotch is not on the rocks. This morning, liquor giant Diageo announces that because of uber-strong scotch demand, up 50% in 5 years, the company will break ground on a new malt distillery in Scotland and invest $1.5 billion in scotch whiskey production. An industry analyst says Diageo is helping usher in a golden age for whiskey. Regulators estimate losses from all those technical glitches suffered the first day Facebook stock traded publicly at more than $100 million. Now some of the banks and brokerages impacted by the fact Facebook trading started a half hour late, plus some trades were never properly executed, will get some compensation. Wall Street Journal says NASDAQ OMX, operator of the NASDAQ exchange on which Facebook stock trades, will make an announcement of compensation today. European markets up aggressively, gaining more than 2%. S&P futures right now up more than 1% or 14 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you, and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
So, Dr. Morisi, as an economist, you're saying business leaders don't understand the true cost of documents?
They just don't get it. Unmanaged printers and MFPs, dysfunctional document workflow, it's profit-killing chaos.
So what's the answer?
Kyocera. With intelligent printers and MFPs, customized apps and services, Kyocera helps companies run more profitably.
Dr. Marie, go from chaos to Kyocera.
Hey, that's my line.
Learn more at KyoceraDocumentSolutions.com.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance has got me reflecting a bit. You know, about all the places I've been so far, all the nice folks I've met, and all the money Geico saved them. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time I saved somebody money on car insurance, I could retire tomorrow. But then, I'd have to stop my journey across America. I'd never get to visit Collinsville, Illinois, and see the world's largest bottle of ketchup. But there's no way I'm going to miss that.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Did you know that a clean engine helps improve fuel economy? Did you know that reduced engine deposits help improve fuel economy? Cleaner intake valves? That helps improve fuel economy, too. That's why all Exxon and Mobil gasoline is specifically formulated to help clean intake valves and vital engine parts. To help your engine run cleaner, smoother, produce less emissions, and get better fuel economy. Learn more at fuelprogress.com. Exxon and Mobil. Gasoline that works smarter for you.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
It's the same each time with Progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this D-Day, Wednesday, June 6, 2012. Pleasure to be with you. It has been a colorful morning already, has it not? If you're just joining us, well, you missed an imbecile in the last hour. But don't worry. This is First Shift. There are more imbeciles in this audience than we care to count, but we'll get to them, I'm sure. Not including my guests, of course. They're not imbeciles at all. We've got a great hour of radio lined up for you. Occupy Detroit occupies First Shift at 7:50. Steve Cook, president of the Michigan Education Association, will be with us at 7:35 to share with us some good news. Some good news coming from the legal system, because as we are again learning, just because you are a legislator doesn't mean you follow the law. Yep, that's right. We'll get to all that. But I want to start this hour. We received an ebook, a couple weeks ago, titled Teabagged. And what picked my interest was that the author was a local guy. His name's Bill Foster. He lives in the Dearborn area. The book, of course, was fascinating in a lot of different ways. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun to get him on and just talk a little bit about the book and what's going on? So let us turn our attention now to our next guest here on First Shift. Bill Foster joins me from Dearborn this morning to talk about Teabagged. And I appreciate you, Bill, taking the time to visit with us this morning.
Well, thank you, Tony, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on here and to talk about the book. It was a lot of fun to write, and I really enjoyed it.
You know, I was kind of, as I was reading, you know, you had sent some talking points to Jeff the other day, and I was looking through those yesterday, but as I was reading the book and over the weekend, I was kind of getting to the end of it. And I said to myself, when I get Bill on, I'm going to, the first question, because I normally don't ask this question, and the question is, why did you write this book? In fact, I don't know if I've ever really asked that question, but I do have to ask you, Bill, why did you write this book?
Well, basically, when the Tea Party, taxed enough already, first came to the forefront, the first thing I thought of was Alice in Wonderland and the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. And in following and listening to the conservative movement in this country, I just found more and more similarities in their rhetoric to everything that was expressed by Lewis Carroll. And I started thinking about matching up the different pundits and politicos with the various characters from Carroll's book. And the more I thought about it, the similarities just were so striking, I just felt compelled I had to do it. And I was taking a writing class last fall with Ann Guttrow from Dearborn Continuing Education, and I showed her some of the work I had done, and she just encouraged me that I had to finish it and get it out there.
Well, and Bill, I would think that at some point this was a labor of love, and let's be honest, but I don't think in your mind you're going, okay, well, this is the one that's going to make me Republican wealthy. so I think that there's a labor of love involved here, is there not?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. What I found, I mean, it's a fun book. That was my intent. But the underlying theme, as far as I'm concerned with the book, is how the conservatives try to take the various factions of conservatism in the United States, whether it's religious, social, fiscal, financial, and they prey upon the fears and phobias of the various sectors and unite them under a conservative banner, whereas you take the individual factions, people that are pro-choice are not necessarily pro-gun, are not necessarily anti-tax, and it's just so frustrating to watch how they obfuscate their agenda to basically sleight of hand unite these various factions.
Well, no question. You know, it's interesting as and I want people to Bill Foster. I want them to keep the Alice in Wonderland theme in mind, and I'm just going to throw out some real names and have you connect the Alice in Wonderland dots for the audience. So let me just, you know, as an example, Rush Limbaugh, who's made the news a great deal the last few months. You've given him an important part in this story, have you not?
Oh yes, yeah. I mean, and that one was one of the most obvious to me. He is obviously the hookah smoking caterpillar, and his confrontations with my protagonist Alicia, I think I tried to capture much of what he's been in the news for with regards to labeling and demeaning women. That was a lot of fun.
All right. Another name on the list made me smile because it just makes sense. Dick Cheney. Who did you assign Dick Cheney to?
The Cheshire Cat.
Absolutely.
It's not the smile or grin of the cat. It's his snarl.
And that's a great way to put it, because it is a snarl, Bill. No question about it. Hey, how about Mitt Romney and his pal Rick Perry? Who would we give them to?
That's Tweedledee and Tweedledum. I mean, the similarities when they first started out between the two, they were indistinguishable. And as their campaigns went on, you really couldn't tell one from the other. And in my book, they end up becoming a single and then disappear. Unfortunately, Mitt didn't, but...
Yeah, unfortunately, he didn't. That's for sure. And then, Bill, because we could do this all day, but I'll end with my favorite, which is, of course, Michelle Bachmann. And who did you assign her to?
Well, she's the Queen of Hearts. Her line, main line connecting her to the Queen of Hearts in the book is Heads Will Roll. But her confusion of history was a lot of fun to write when I, where she's citing the Battle of the Ironclads in the Civil War between Old Ironside and the Virginia, which is obviously totally wrong. But her quoting history and being so matter of fact and authoritative in her speech, it's I mean, that's what she was using, especially early in her campaign.
Well, the book, by the way, is beautifully written. The prose is really quite lovely. And there's a, how do I put this, Bill? There's a little bit of a nasty to this book, and I mean that in the best possible way. I'm saying that with a smile on my face, I promise you, Bill. There's a little bit of nasty involved here. I think that if somebody has really just a smidge of imagination, that they're going to have a great time with this book called Teabag. Let's let the audience know how they can get their copy. First of all, it's extremely affordable. So where can they get this book?
Well, thank you. It's on Amazon.com, and it's a Kindle or ebook through Amazon. It's $4.99, and it's one word, teabagged. And as my daughter has said, you know, right now my sales have all the momentum of a Newt Gingrich presidential campaign, but hopefully people will pick it up, enjoy it, share it with other people, because it's a fun read, and that was my intent.
It is. It's a light, as you say, you wrote, these are your words, it's a light, fun read. It is a light, fun read. It is nothing. Listen, if people want to get offended by it, well, Bill, let them go ahead and get offended by it, but you didn't mean it in an offensive way. In fact, you meant it to do the exact opposite. You did it to lighten people up a little bit, and if they can't see that, well, shame on them.
Well, and as I thought to myself, you know, I tried to make sure that Alicia, again, the protagonist, was respectful of all the various characters that she met throughout the book. That was my intent. You know, she disagreed with them, but she was still respectful.
Imagine that, huh, Bill? Imagine that. Being disagreeable, but at the same time respectful. Well, again, yeah. If you go to Amazon.com, in fact, we'll make sure, if Jeff hasn't already done it, that we put a link on our Facebook page to the Amazon page, so that people, make it a little easier for people, especially those that are driving. I don't want them to veer off the side of the road. Obviously, a lot of us have now e-readers. Your smartphone, by the way, if you didn't realize that, folks, is an e-reader already. So in case you didn't know that, now you do.
Okay, well, and thank you very much for the time and consideration.
Oh,
I really,
Bill, this was really fun. I mean, it's a fun book. It's one of those things that, you know what, let's be honest about it. Democrats are going to like it more than Republicans.
Yes.
That's okay. That's okay.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Bill Foster, once again, Teabagged is the book. You'll find it at Amazon.com. Thank you so much for your time this morning. We do appreciate it.
Well, and thank you again.
My pleasure, Bill. Truly, it is. Local guy, folks, lives in Dearborn, so go ahead and check it out. We're going to take a very quick break here. We'll be open lines at the bottom of the hour. If you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. We've got a lot to get to. And I'd be happy to take your calls, by the way. Let's take the break, and First Shift will continue right after this on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trubino.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us who don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We're still watching that problem over on M14 eastbound at 275. We got that overturned semi blocking the ramp to 275. Now traffic can detour to 96 eastbound, exit at Newburgh, and enter 96 westbound, and that'll get you right back to 275. Also on 14 Mile Road at 75, you got an accident blocking that ramp to southbound 75. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 77 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy and 56. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 80, and it's currently 51 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register. Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Brian Miller, co-author of the book Self-Made Myth and executive director of United for a Fair Economy.
Broadly speaking, the work of United for a Fair Economy, we work with, as you mentioned, we do work with labor, we do work with community groups, we do work with low-income groups that are organizing for greater equality and a more broadly shared prosperity, but we also work with these business leaders, and that's really about that cross-class organizing that we strive to do, and because there's a role for everyone in this work. Garrett Gruen, founder of Ask.com, the internet search engine, he has this wonderful op-ed in L.A. Times where he talked about no amount of tax breaks to the wealthy Americans are going to stimulate the economy if there's not a middle class capable of buying the products that are being made, and that there's a point when inequality gets so great that the economy, even if you don't care about values, the economy simply cannot sustain itself.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock, I am Tony Trupiano. Feel free to join us, by the way, 888-552-3595. Steve Cook with the MEA will be with us at the bottom of the hour. Jeff had printed a story for me this morning. Apparently, somebody, and I'm going to assume with the Walker campaign, but we can argue that some other time, did a robocall last night to Wisconsin voters that basically said if you signed the petition, you didn't need to vote. Now, I don't know how effective it was. I don't. I don't know how much it damaged the election result. I don't. I do know that it was the wrong thing to do, but welcome to politics, right? So people, and now the first thing I said to Jeff was, do people actually fall for it? And I sometimes just assume that people are smarter than they are. And I don't mean to be disrespectful. I really don't. But if I got a robocall that said, hey, if you sign a petition, you don't need to vote, I would laugh. Of course, you still need to vote. All right. The height of hypocrisy. I could not wait to find a small amount of time to share this story with you this morning. This is a story about the Republican legislature in Michigan and what happens when they don't get along with each other. Now, you're not going to believe, and those of you that have really been paying attention, you're not going to believe the story I'm about to share with you, but it is true, and I'm giving it to you factually. A bill to impose cigarette taxes on smokes rolled by in-store machines was approved by a divided House Tuesday, with a number of Republican members speaking out on the floor against the bill. This is where it gets rich. Rep. Tom McMillan, a Republican enemy number one from Rochester Hills, encouraged Democrats to oppose the bill with him, saying that, quote, big tobacco, unquote, is the industry that is being aided by the bill, because Tom McMillan knows big business, I assure you. The bill is titled SB 930, would define tobacco stores that use large roll-your-own machines as manufacturers require that they collect the per-pack cigarette tax, just as wholesalers do for prepackaged cigarettes. Mr. McMillan and several of his colleagues said these retailers are not manufacturers and should not be taxed as such. But Representative Jeff Farrington, a Republican from Utica, said the bill will put small companies out of business. Jackson County's two Republican representatives, normally together on most issues, split on the bill. Mike Shirky, a Republican from Clark Lake, who is another public enemy, spoke from the floor in opposition. Quoting him, he said, "We are rolling our own small businessmen." Really? We're rolling our own small businessmen? I didn't know they made papers that big. He said these businesses are just not trying to avoid taxes. He also said they are businesses in the state where people can go in and add products and make their own beer. But those were left alone. He went on, Mr. Shirky again, to be quoted as, "This is a complete inconsistency in how we are applying the tax laws." Okay. Mr. Shirky was followed by Rep. Earl Polsky, a Republican from Jackson, his buddy, his pal, his colleague, who spoke in support of the bill. He said some of these businesses are doing it this way to avoid paying a tax on the finished cigarette product. "I think," quoting him, "that manufacturing cigarettes is going on here. I suggest that manufacturing is kind of like pornography. I know it when I see it," unquote. The bill was approved 59 to 48. A number of Republicans voted in opposition. You ready for this? This is the best part. I couldn't wait to share this with you today. A number of Republicans voted in opposition and then shouted in jest to oppose. You ready? To oppose the bill being given immediate effect, which drew some laughs from Democrats on the aisle, given that the months-long drama about immediate effect between minority Democrats and majority Republicans. Folks, did you hear what I just said? The Republicans, when they don't like immediate effect, shout it down! Shout it down! Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty I'm a Republican. Come on, really? Because you don't like a bill and it's given immediate effect, you're going to shout it down? The height of hypocrisy in this little story. Republicans didn't like it, so they shouted it down. And that's okay. Democrats don't like something and they shout it down. That just makes them whiny little bitches, right? I don't think so. Don't think so. Great story. Great story. Republicans continue to get it wrong. It's all about them. They are the 13-year-olds. Speaking of 13-year-olds, our poll question today, and I have real issues with this. Our poll question today, Facebook announced that they want to make Facebook available to preteens, to little kids. So the question is, should it be made available? Honestly, I don't even know if anybody's voted in the poll yet. Tell you how much that issue matters to people. But it matters to me, and I'm going to tell you why in here in just a second. Indeed, we've only had two people vote. I think you have to be real careful with Facebook and little kids. Little kids, and we're talking preteens, so we're talking 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. Maybe if you have a different Facebook for them that's only for them, but how do you regulate that? I don't know. At some point, this is going to be about continuing to monetize Facebook. That's what, anytime there's going to be a change in Facebook, it's about monetizing something. You realize that. I mean, it's a business. I understand that. A multi-billion dollar business. We all get that. But should they allow preteens to be on Facebook? I say no. But that's a parental issue, and I'll let parents decide for themselves. Jeff, your thoughts on preteens joining Facebook?
I worry about teens joining Facebook, to tell you the truth. I mean, up until 17, 18, maybe, I don't know. Even if you do say they can have their own, then how do you keep people, you know, from still not using it in the wrong manner? I mean, I don't know. It still goes up to the parents. You have to be able to monitor.
Here's my concern. I'm going to make it a one, because you know I'm not really a one issue person, but I do want to make this about one issue, and it's bullying. That's my concern. My concern is bullying, because we know that 8-year-olds can bully. So don't tell me they can't. I've got an 8-year-old grandson. 8-year-olds can bully. That's what I worry about. I worry about creating a culture that you really don't know that you can control. I'm very concerned about this idea. Very concerned. I'm seriously, this is something that bothers me a great deal. So we'll see what happens. But at the end of the day, follow the money. Follow the money. It's about monetizing. Facebook is all about profit. It should be. That's what they're in business for, right? We'll see what happens. Okay, we've got to take a quick break here. Steve Cook will be with us, president of the Michigan Education Association on the other side. Really a good news story. Now, story's not done, and it's not that things can't turn bad again, because they could. But for now, we're going to take and we're going to seize on this opportunity to get to a victory, a legal victory for teachers today. God knows they've had one coming. Let's take the break. We'll come back right after this.
Team 10 WDTW continuous traffic watch.
We're still watching that problem over on M14 eastbound at 275. We got that overturned semi blocking the ramp to 275. Now traffic can detour to 96 eastbound, exit at Newburgh, and enter 96 westbound, and that'll get you right back to 275. Also on 14 Mile Road at 75, you got an accident blocking that ramp to southbound 75. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 77 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy and 56. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 80, and it's currently 51 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker's corporate and billionaire Mega Millions allowed him to hang on and survive the recall election triggered by the historic Wisconsin uprising. Democrats also lost all 4 state Senate recall efforts against Republicans. Here's how Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett conceded to Walker.
I just got off the phone with Governor Walker and congratulated him on his victory tonight. We agreed that it is important for us to work together. And I want to thank all of you for the work that you have done, who obtained signatures, who stood out in the cold, who did what you thought was right. Never, ever stop doing what you think is right. That's what makes this such a great country. Please, please, please remain engaged, remain involved, because we will continue to fight for justice and fairness in this city and this state. We are a state that has been deeply divided, and it is up to all of us, our side and their side, to listen to each other. And to try to do what's right for everyone in this state. The state remains divided. And it is my hope that while we have lively debates, a lively discourse which is healthy in any democracy, that those who are victorious tonight, as well as those of us who are not victorious tonight, can at the end of the day do what is right for Wisconsin families.
Democratic Lieutenant Governor candidate Malin Mitchell, the president of Wisconsin's Professional Firefighters Association, made it clear there's still plenty of fight left in him despite Tuesday's loss.
This is a fight that we are in, and the fight did not end today whether we won or lost. This is a fight that we have to keep up, and we cannot stop. I can tell you right now that I'm not done with this fight. And I know the man behind me, Mayor Bear, is not done with this fight. I will continue to fight, and I will continue to speak out against the injustices of this state. And we got to keep going. We cannot stop. Now, he is trying to divide and conquer us. We cannot let that happen, right? Right? Are you ready to fight?
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, Trupiano. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
35 minutes after 7 o'clock, I am Tony Trupiano. Pleasure to be back with you. If we were to take all the issues that we've discussed here on the show since I've been on the air 14 months now, I would say that 30% of the time, some of it has just been mandated by a legislature that has been hell-bent and focused on disengaging and dismantling teachers in the state of Michigan. They have made it their personal goal to make teachers' lives a living hell. Why they've done it, we don't know. And maybe one day a book will be written about this. In the meantime, the leadership of these teachers' unions, David Hecker from the AFT, Steve Cook from the Michigan Education Association, have been fighting as hard as they possibly can to protect their membership. And I have some good news for you today. But instead of me giving it to you, I'm going to turn to someone I just mentioned. Steve Cook is on the other end of my line. He, of course, is president of the Michigan Education Association. Steve, it's a pleasure to have you on, especially with a little good news today.
Yeah, Tony, it's great to be back. How are you?
I'm doing really well. U.S. District Judge Denise Page Hood is going to tell the world what today, Steve Cook?
Well, she's going to tell the world that Public Act 53 has been ruled unconstitutional, and there will be a restraining order placed on the imposition of that law today.
Well,
Public Act 53, that was the bill that only impacted school employees, but would not allow school districts to deduct union dues.
I want to make sure that there's an important piece. This has always been an important piece of this for me. Both the MEA and the AFT had said to the legislature, and they had said to management, and they'd said to the State Board of Education, anybody that would listen, that if there was a cost associated with collecting dues, that you would absorb that cost. Whatever it is, the organizations, the unions themselves, would take that cost away from the school district, only to find out, Steve Cook, there was really no cost associated with this service. So it now becomes quite suspicious why they would even want to provide this kind of legislation, doesn't it?
Well, and I think we know the reason why. It's curious that the legislature, within 24 to 48 hours after we announced the drive to put collective bargaining into the Constitution, they passed this law. So I think it's flat-out retribution. We think the if not the direct letter of the Judge Hood's ruling today or yesterday, or if not the spirit of it, certainly speaks to that it was nothing but pure retribution by the legislature using their power to basically try to punish school employees in this state.
You know, it's fascinating, Steve Cook, when we take a look at what'll happen today when this becomes official, when the announcement is made, because this is really, if people stop and think about this, every teacher, with the exception of very few, are going to be thrilled to hear this. Of course, the union itself is going to be thrilled to hear this. The electorate will be thrilled to hear this. I'm not done. Just bear with me a second. Most of the legislators will be thrilled to hear this. And I could go on. The only people that are going to be unhappy with today's ruling are legislative Republicans. Beyond that, I'm talking the State Board of Education. The PTA had supported teachers' unions in this battle with the legislators. The only ones that will be unhappy today are Republicans in the state legislature. I think, Stephen Cook, that says something loud and clear that we need to pay attention to.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. And they won't be happy to hear this. But you see, this is what happens when the legislature abuses their authority. They have a great deal of power, but to punish someone politically, the entire legislature, Republicans really, to punish someone politically because you've done something that they don't think is, they don't agree with politically, is an absolute abuse of power. We think Judge Hood agreed with us, and so that's why we're going to see the restraining order put on this law today.
Well, it's significant for a variety of reasons, and let's be honest with the audience about this. It's difficult to, you know, collect dues without having this automatically be able to deduct them. It'd be different if there was an outroar from your membership that is saying, hey, this is wrong. It'd be different if this was an internal fight where people from within the MEA or the AFT were saying, well, listen, folks, you're collecting these dues in the wrong fashion. We're unhappy. But none of that was true. And in fact, you know, as we looked for a reason, I'm still waiting for an explanation as to why this happened. Beyond a simple explanation was, well, it's just unfair to the membership. But the only people who were saying that were people that aren't members.
Well, yeah, and you're not going to get an explanation out of the Republicans, I don't think, because it was so, it was such a naked attack on the school employees that they really, there's no comeback for that. And I don't think they had any kind of response to that yesterday in court. And that's why you're seeing the restraining order placed on the law today.
Well, again, nothing could be better news this morning. And go back to just a simple, fundamental idea, because this is what, by the way, teachers are teaching in government class. When something is clearly illegal and unconstitutional, the law does prevail. And in this case, Stephen Cook, the law did prevail for fundamentally important reasons, because this legislature broke the law.
Oh yes, and this is the only recourse we had, was to go into federal court, and it's the first. You know, there is justice out there. You have to fight for it. You have to work for it. But it's there when you work hard enough to find it.
Well, and that really is the bottom line here. You followed the rule of law. There was a path that you had to take, Stephen Cook. You took that path. It led you to where we are going to be at today, which is U.S. District Judge Denise Paige Hood doing the right thing, which is saying, after looking at case law, after looking at the justification behind why this was presented to begin with, I can only give the opinion that the law allows for me, and that this is unconstitutional, and therefore there will be an injunction, and therefore we can now hopefully put this behind us. Which brings me to my last question for you, Stephen Cook. I don't think the legislature is going to just say, oh, well, we tried. I would think they're probably going to challenge this court ruling. What are you hearing?
Well, we haven't heard a thing yet, and it may be a little while before we do, but as of right now, we haven't heard what the state's approach is going to be on this.
Well, as we take a look at all the negative stuff that's happened over the last 16 months to get this piece, and this is ultimately very good news, and it's good news for democracy. I just want to point that out. This is really, Stephen Cook, about democracy. This isn't about the union getting their way, so I just want to make sure we're clear on that.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Judge Hood doesn't work for the union. She doesn't work for the Republicans. She's an independent federal court judge, and she did her job, we think, admirably yesterday. But this is where you have to go to seek justice.
You know, very, very quickly, I do want to read you Ari Adler, who is the spokesperson for House Speaker Jace Bolger, was quoted yesterday as saying, PA 53 was designed to protect school districts and educators. Schools should not be serving as a collection agency between unions and their members. In addition, the educators in this state are better off when unions have the have to regularly prove their value to members. I'm sorry, I can't even say this with a straight face. Instead of just presuming everything is fine because the money keeps rolling in automatically. I mean, if that's true, if we're going to hold that statement true, United Way shouldn't be collected. People shouldn't be able to collect their alimony payments this way. I could go on and on and on, Stephen Cook. If we're going to apply that, then there are a lot of things that need to stop automatically.
Well, you could actually also add to that state, local, and federal taxes. they keep running through every day. The state doesn't seem to have any problem, you know, dealing with that. So there's a lot of things that roll through on a school employee's check. But, you know, the thing is, and you mentioned the cost of this, if there is any right now, you know, 30 years ago when you had to do a lot of this by hand, I think you could make the argument that there was a cost associated with it. But today it's a matter of punching the right computer key. But we even offered to pay for that. And a matter of fact, as school districts have run into trouble over the last few years, we have had local associations on their own go to the school districts and say, look, any costs associated with this, we will pay. So this is a you know, a problem in search of a solution. It just didn't make any sense.
Well, no question. Stephen Cook, thanks so much for joining us. Congratulations, by the way, on this injunction. Of course, we're going to continue to follow this because I'm not naive enough to think that it's now all of a sudden satisfied, but it's a step in the right direction, and it's a victory where we haven't had many, so we're going to hold on to this one for a while. Stephen, thanks so much. We'll look forward to visiting with you again in the very near future.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate the opportunity.
You bet. My pleasure. All right, folks. This is, again, this is good news. Just for a moment, stop and think about the damage that this could have caused. And I say could have because it's difficult. Unions are businesses, like everything else. So for those of you free enterprisers out there that are all for business, why isn't it okay for a union to be one? I know what some of you are going to say. Some of you are going to say it's about political agenda. I know you find this hard to believe, but I've been involved in the union realm for a very long time. Folks, this is a democratic process. You have as much right as anybody does to back a candidate, a Republican, a Democrat, a Green Party, an Independent, doesn't matter. There isn't a candidate that exists that doesn't have access to the endorsement process. Now, whether they choose or not to go down that path is their choice. But there is no more democratic process than the process, the endorsement process that the unions have been involved with for decades. So the truth makes you uncomfortable once again. I celebrate that. Thank you, Stephen Cook. Thank you, MEA. Thank you, David Hecker. Thank you, AFT. And for every teacher listening to this program now and for everyone that's been touched by a teacher, which is everyone, and I don't mean that way, congratulations for education today. It got a victory. First Shift continues with Occupy after this.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Joining me now is Congressman Gary Peters. He, of course,
does not make any sense that in July that the interest rate that students will have to pay on their Stafford loans will double from 3.4% to 6.8%, adding an additional burden on those students who are already racking up debts as a result of the high cost of the college education. But you just think about it, at a time when you can get long-term 30-year mortgages for 4%, and you can have treasury bonds or treasuries at about 2% for a 10-year treasury, why you would charge 6.8% to student loans on federally subsidized loans. It does not make any sense given where interest rates are right now. And it certainly places a burden, an additional burden, on our students who are moving to get ahead in life.
on 1310 WDTW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, that would be 7:50. That means one thing, it's Activist Corner. That's what it is, and we have got some great stuff to share with you in this segment today. Joining me now is Tom Stevens, who's going to walk us through the good work the Alliance to Halt Fermi 3 is up to, an event that's actually happening just 2 days from today, and we're going to get to it all right now. Tom, thanks for joining us this morning on First Shift.
Good morning.
Pleasure to have you on the show. Tell us a little bit about the Alliance to Halt Fermi 3, and I think it's important people understand what's going on there, because there's a lot going on that people are not aware of, and it's happening right under their nose, literally.
Yeah, the whole idea of building nuclear power plants has become all the rage again, I guess, in certain utility circles. They don't have the money to do it, and, you know, it's dangerous, so people are scared of it, so they kind of try to keep it on the down low. But there's a broad-based group of folks in southeastern Michigan, environmentalists, consumers, regular citizens, all kinds of people, who are coming together to stop this kind of madness.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the questions we just need to ask, and it's a simple question, and it's got a yes or no answer to it. Do we need a Fermi 3?
The answer is no.
Of course it's no.
DTE just wants to make money off it. We don't need nuclear power. We've gotten along just fine without nuclear power, although it does supply a certain amount of our power. You know, we haven't built one for 30 years because it turned out it was failed technology.
Well, you know,
I mean,
and also,
if this isn't a failed technology, what is?
Well, you know, but Tom, it also brings up another point, and I think it's an important point. At a time where we see advancements, especially around the globe. Let's forget for a moment the patriotic American flag-waving symbol for just a moment. And let's talk about the reality. Around the globe, alternative technologies have become not just an option, a reality. And in fact, we need to point out that there are countries that have eliminated nuclear power completely. And if they haven't phased it out yet, they are. And they are turning to technologies that DTE and others continue to ignore here, literally in our own backyard.
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, the nuclear utility and utility industries have been trumpeting, pumping or perhaps pimping, you know, a so-called nuclear renaissance basically since the early days of the last Bush administration. You know, this guy got in and they thought everything was going to be just gravy. And it just hasn't happened because of the risks and the cost of the technology. You know, for example, in March, The Economist magazine, which is really a pro-nuclear kind of publication, a very establishment, conservative, pro-industry kind of publication, ran a special edition on nuclear power, nuclear energy. It's probably worth looking at. It's from the March Economist. And they said flat out, they're just too expensive to build, except in certain places, such as the southeastern part of the United States, where there's a few that are on the drawing boards and construction, where there's a regulatory environment that allows the utility to charge the ratepayers up front. So that's something that's really got to be attacked. We have one utility in Michigan, the Northern Indiana Michigan Power Company, which owns the Cook facility out in Bridgman, which is in the extreme southwest corner of the state, where they have just recently asked the Michigan Public Service Commission for authority to do this, to charge the ratepayers for maintaining their old nuke. You know, they now want to get 80 years out of these things. And right. So that's got to be nipped in the bud.
The rate payers, which means those of us that consume electricity. We're going to take a quick call, and then we're going to talk about this event coming up in a couple days. Tom Stevens, again, my guest. We'll welcome Stephen Monroe. Steve, you're on the air with Tom Stevens.
Good morning, Tony. Good morning, Tom. Tom, where is your basis for saying that it's failed technology? They're building one in Georgia that's gonna provide electricity to 500,000 homes. I mean, where do you come up
with that? Yeah, it's the first one they've built in 30 years, man. I mean, how many level 7 nuclear catastrophes does the planet get before we conclude this is a disaster? And they still haven't figured out where to put the waste, which is toxic for 100,000 years. That's what I mean by failed technology. What? It's something that you cannot build without soaking the ratepayers and the taxpayers. And by the way, the insurance industry won't touch the risk. There's federal law that says that if there's a disaster, the taxpayers pay for it.
All right, let's let Steve.
No,
then Steve got disconnected, unfortunately. Listen, and Steve, I know you're still listening, and I apologize for I don't know if it was your cell or whatever, but you got to keep in mind, you can't tell someone to calm down when you call and attacked what they're saying. So you got to give Tom a chance, as of course we did, to respond. I want to go back, Tom, to something that I just said. Apparently Steve wasn't listening. Countries are abandoning these technologies and taking those same investment dollars and investing in wind, in water, and solar. It's not like this stuff isn't working in other parts of the world.
Well, it's much cheaper. That's the thing. You can per kilowatt hour, the energy produced by wind and solar, the cost has gone way down below this. That's why you cannot, as the economist says, you cannot build these things. They're just too expensive in today's regulatory environment and given the alternatives.
Absolutely. Let's talk. You've got an event coming up on June 8th. Talk a little bit about that, Tom, before we run out of time this morning.
Friday, June 8th, 7:30 p.m., Unity Church of Livonia at 28660 Five Mile Road. In Livonia, between Middlebelt and Inkster Roads, a nationally known expert named Paul Gunter, who's the director of reactor oversight at Beyond Nuclear, is going to be in the southeastern Michigan area, and he's going to be speaking about Fermi, Fukushima, and fission, imagination at work. Imagination is a big word that General Electric likes to use. General Electric is the designer of both the Fermi 2 and the Fermi 3, proposed Fermi 3 reactors. And there's huge problems with technical problems, cost problems, and, of course, storing the waste from these things. And he's going to be walking us through the issues, which we really haven't had a chance to talk about for a long time because, like I say, this industry pretty much died out. They stopped building these things in the United States in the early 1980s.
You know, it's interesting, Tom, because as we can talk about this from, as we have been, from a lot of different perspectives. But the bottom line, and I want people to understand this, that ultimately there's no risk and this for General Electric or for DTE, because ultimately it's those of us that consume electricity that ultimately pay for this stuff.
Not only those that consume electricity, but also taxpayers who pay for it both ways.
Yeah, and to me that sounds like double dipping, unless I'm understanding it wrong.
It's more than double dipping. There's other subsidies, too. There's loan guarantees from the federal government. And, I'll go back to my point that the caller called in. It is a failed technology. If this is not a failed technology, what is? They plan to use this energy to provide the 21st century with power. It didn't work. You have disasters in Chernobyl and in Japan. You have the Three Mile Island, which was also a disaster, just not quite as horrible a disaster. And you have the cost problems, and they never found a solution to get rid of the waste.
Well, for those, and thank you, Tom Stevens, for those that are sitting there saying, what's the big deal all about? If you didn't get what Tom just said in the last 45 seconds, you just don't get it. That's the bottom line. And I hate to suggest this, but this goes back to a basic Republican misunderstanding. It's called stupidity. I hate to be so blunt about it, but you're just being stupid if you don't get what Tom's saying. Tom, thanks so much for being with us. I hope
you're
there. I appreciate
June 8th, 7:30 in Livonia at the Livonia Unity Church. We'll have a chance to talk about some more. That's at 28660 Five Mile Road.
That'll have to do it for us in this hour. We take a break. When we come back, Stephen Henderson with the Detroit Free Press, Lori Lamoran with Planned Parenthood, both amazingly important segments. Stay where you're at. We'll be back.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We're watching slow traffic over on 94 westbound between Gratiot and Van Dyke. And also, we still got that major problem on M14 eastbound at 275. We have that overturned semi. Traffic can detour to 96 eastbound, exit at Newburgh, re-enter at 96 westbound, and that'll get you right back on 275. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 77 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy and 56. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 80, and it's currently 51 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit, NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Klishevsky. Scott Walker hangs on as governor of Wisconsin, defeating Tom Barrett in yesterday's recall election. It's seen as a setback for Democrats and organized labor, and pundits say it may foreshadow the general election in November. NBC's Steve Handelsman.
President Obama backed the Democrats, but fearful of alienating Wisconsinites, he stayed away. Asked their presidential preferences in exit polls. Wisconsin voters backed Obama over Romney by 9 points.
Mitt Romney, meanwhile, winning another round of GOP primaries to pad his delegate total. He's long since clinched the Republican presidential nomination. J.P. Morgan Chase's multi-billion-dollar trading blunder comes under the Senate microscope today. The comptroller of currency and head of the FDIC will try to shed light on how it happened. And joggers, running is good for you, just don't overdo it. A new study says casual runners who log a few miles a few times a week appear to live longer, while extreme athletes could be running a risk by overtaxing and damaging their hearts. This is NBC News Radio. Slow growth, that's the word for state economies still struggling to emerge from the Great Recession. A USA Today survey finds only 9 states have returned to the economic level they enjoyed before the downturn struck in late 2007. On Wall Street, stock futures point higher. Get well soon wishes pouring into Grammy Award winner Sheryl Crow. The singer revealing she has a benign brain tumor, saying it's nothing to cause alarm. NBC's Seth Goldman.
Back in November, the 50-year-old singer was so concerned that she was forgetting the lyrics of some of her songs that she decided to get an MRI, and that's how doctors accidentally discovered it.
Sheryl Crow still on a nationwide tour and told an audience about her condition at a concert. And the city with the best burgers? Try Providence, Rhode Island, where nobody has a beef with Harry's Bar and Burger. Their 100% Hereford sliders top a travel and leisure survey. Philadelphia's second best burger town, followed by Chicago and Houston. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Jim Klishevsky, NBC News Radio.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your wheels and tires from harmful elements and restore shine during the 12 Ways to Save sale at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, pick up Armor All Extreme Wheel and Tire Cleaner or Armor All Extreme Tire Shine for $3.99 each. Clean, shine, and protect your wheels and tires during the 12 Ways to Save sale at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
If you've ever wanted to design your own ring, there's only one place to go.
That's Jared!
At Jared the Galleria of Jewelry, it's easy to create a ring that's yours and yours alone. First, choose from hundreds of beautiful settings. Then select from thousands of certified diamonds, including the Peerless Diamond, the Ideal Ideal Cut Diamond, and the Spectacular Leo Artisan, both exclusively at Jared.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Walmart, which has faced criticism over the wages and benefits it offers its workers, is now facing criticism over the effect of its policies on an entire industry of workers. The National Employment Law Project has released a study that says aggressive cost-cutting by Walmart through its supply lines has negatively impacted all warehouse jobs in the U.S. It finds Walmart's policies of subcontracting to third-party companies using poorly paid temp workers as being copied by rivals and becoming the new norm in the business. Spain is offering up its most direct plea for European financial aid to date, and Greece is warning that its government could be busted penniless in a month. Against that backdrop, European Commission leaders are pushing today for broad new regulatory power that would allow outside takeovers of failing European banks. That is helping European stock markets. They're up about 2% right now. S&P futures up about 1%, 12 points. NASDAQ futures gaining 24. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you, and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
So, Dr. Morisi, as an economist, you're saying business leaders don't understand the true cost of documents?
They just don't get it. Unmanaged printers and MFPs, dysfunctional document workflow, it's profit-killing chaos.
So what's the answer?
Kyocera. With intelligent printers and MFPs, customized apps and services, Kyocera helps companies run more profitably.
Dr. Morisi. So go from chaos to Kyocera.
Hey, that's my line.
Learn more at KyoceraDocumentSolutions.com.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance has got me reflecting a bit. You know, about all the places I've been so far, all the nice folks I've met, and all the money Geico saved them. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time I saved somebody money on car insurance, I could retire tomorrow. But then, I'd have to stop my journey across America. I'd never get to visit Collinsville, Illinois, and see the world's largest bottle of ketchup. Well, there's no way I'm going to miss that.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Did you know that a clean engine helps improve fuel economy? Did you know that reduced engine deposits help improve fuel economy? Cleaner intake valves? That helps improve fuel economy too. That's why all Exxon and Mobil gasoline is specifically formulated to help clean intake valves and vital engine parts. To help your engine run cleaner, smoother, produce less emissions, and get better fuel economy. Learn more at fuelprogress.com. Exxon and Mobil. Gasoline that works smarter for you.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Well, it does today anyway. We got a lot to get to in this hour. You want to pay special attention, again, as I said before the top of the hour, to both segments today. Steve Henderson and I have three specific topics. I'm going to try to get to all three of them. We have Planned Parenthood with us at 8:35, and they need our help today. We got word late in the day yesterday that the Republican-controlled legislature is once again attacking women in the state of Michigan. We'll tell you how and why and what you can do to help fight that, and we're going to get to all of it. So just be patient. I promise we will get to all of it. Let's go ahead with our intros and let's get this hour going.
Editorial page editor and host of American Black Journal.
Recall, in my mind, is for malfeasance in office. It's for the rare occasion when you have somebody who says, "I will do X," and then does Y. And even then, I think it's got to be a very egregious instance of that to justify a recall.
The Detroit Free Press's and First Shift Voice of Reason.
The question becomes, how much of a serious discussion is this? How much of a productive discussion is this?
Mr. Stephen Henderson.
And joining us now is Stephen Henderson. Although he was off last week, the last thing he was off last week. I think you probably worked harder up at Mackinac than pretty much anybody there. Every time I turned around, you were on radio, you were on TV, you were writing. So you had to have been exhausted when you got home, Stephen.
Yeah. It was a tiring trip. It was a long trip. It always is. But it's, you know, it's always good to. And I had my share of fudge, and you know, the weather was good, so I'm not complaining.
Well, I'm glad you're not complaining. By the way, your piece on the D.C. mayor that was in the paper the other day was absolutely amazing. I posted it to the Facebook page and really got a lot of response from it. Wow, wouldn't it be great? And I understand your love for this guy, and I only read the article, so I can't imagine what it must have been like to be in the room with him.
Yeah, you know, I have to confess, you know, I had not met Anthony Williams before last week. I mean, I knew about him and had read about him before, and, you know, I lived on the East Coast in Baltimore for a long time and worked in D.C., so I was somewhat, you know, pretty familiar with who he was, but... you know, I had a chance to interview him on Tuesday for an episode of American Black Journal that'll run later this month, and then we did this panel thing on Wednesday. So I spent a good amount of time with him, and man, I was just blown away. He combines this sort of intellectual view of cities and sort of classical view of cities with a very practical set of experiences, and really had some very insightful things to say just about where we are in Detroit, where we are compared to where Washington is, and what opportunities he saw for us. I mean, he got criticized a little for not being very specific about what he would recommend here in Detroit, and I think he was hesitant to do that, at least in part because he doesn't live here. But a lot of the stuff that he said, I think, gives us some idea of sort of how to attack problems here, and even better, how to improve leadership. I mean, this was a guy who was very clearly a very strong leader.
There's no question, Stephen, and I have to tell you, I'll look forward to watching the segment on American Black Journal. I'm sure it's going to be fascinating. My impression, and again, the article that you wrote wasn't that long, but it was literally every word had impact. I'm going to make it really simple, because there was an honesty. There was an honesty to what he was saying that we just aren't getting from our own political leaders right now.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think this is somebody who has very little patience for, you know, for euphemism or for sort of power struggle kind of discussions. You know, and I think what he knows of Detroit tells him that we're sort of still mired in a lot of that around here, and not able to sort of sit and say, all right, this is a big mess. Here are the things we got to do to sort of fix that mess, and some of them are tough decisions, but you do them and you make them because things will get better, and that certainly is the kind of leader he was in D.C. And I think he's one of the things he was trying to tell us was you got to do better with leadership. You got to sort of elect better people, and then people've got to sort of hold them accountable for their behavior in a way that I think we're not used to here.
You know, I think the editorial page editor of the Free Press has been preaching that for a while now.
Yeah, I might have said it once or twice.
Once or twice, Stephen Anderson. In fact, that comes to mind, maybe even on this show, once or twice,
yeah.
Or
yeah.
A couple.
I might have mentioned it, I don't know.
A couple few dozen times, who knows?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it was a great article, and again, we'll look forward to seeing it. On American Black Journal, and perhaps we can have a further discussion about this after that airs. I do want to mention, though, and again, this is big news today. It's big news and a very big disappointment for Democrats and for organized labor, for that matter. Scott Walker winning, trouncing his opponent in Wisconsin yesterday. Now, listen, I'm not surprised by it, Stephen, and I'm not personally disappointed because this is something I expected to have happen. With that said, there's work to be done.
I mean, I think there's no question there's work to be done. I mean, you know, I think there's no way to spin it other than to say that it's a pretty big hit for organized labor, which has already taken a giant hit in Wisconsin, you know, because of what Walker and the Republican legislature there did to them. You know, this is sort of adding insult to injury. And you know, I wasn't surprised either. I was a little surprised by how easily it seemed that he kept his seat. But I also think that, you know, there's some lessons here about strategy, about what what the sort of task is for labor, not just in Wisconsin, but even in places like Michigan and throughout the Midwest, where government is sort of changing the way that it sees organized labor, particularly in the public sector. You know, I'm not sure this was the best way to try to deal with someone like Scott Walker. They spent a lot of money, a ton of money, and political capital on a moonshot, and they came up short and have really nothing to show for it. I mean, I think that's the real concern here is where do you go from here? What's the next step? There isn't really one. Recalls are, you know, are all or nothing propositions, and they came up with nothing in this one.
Well, and not, it was down ticket as well. There were some Senate races, and people need to understand the dynamic of the Senate there. It's a part-time legislature.
Yeah.
So even though they did pick up a seat, they don't meet again until next year. So they'll actually meet once before they have another election, which could upset the balance of power all over again. I mean, this is ridiculous. Because we want to apply our system as we understand it to their political structure. It doesn't fit.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. And, you know, organized labor had to, I think they had to respond to what happened in Wisconsin. And if they hadn't, you know, it really would have suggested that they were weak, and that any governor could do what Scott Walker did and maybe get away with it. This was not the response that, you know, that I think made the most sense. And like I said, they spent a lot of money to come up with nothing here. The other thing that they've done is they've thrown the Republicans on a national level, you know, at least an inkling that a state that Barack Obama carried, I think, by 14 points in 2008 might be winnable for Mitt Romney. Now, I don't see that as a one-to-one sort of conclusion to make after what Walker did. But certainly, that's what the spin will be. That's what the national party will think. I think they will sit down and think very, very carefully about what they do. You know, the Romney PAC, the Romney Super PAC, is not up right now in Wisconsin. It's in places like Michigan. Is this an invitation or an inspiration for them to say, well, let's go to Wisconsin? You know, maybe this is a state that we can get. I mean, this was a big blow, I think, to the progressive cause and to the labor cause. And I think, you know, this is a regrouping moment for them almost from zero, from the beginning.
Well, there's no question that some remarkable things need to happen moving forward. I said this earlier in the show. I'll say it again. First of all, folks, you can stop emailing and telling me I'm complaining about what happened. I've not complained once. I've owned what's happened. So I don't know where you folks, maybe you're not listening to the show is the problem, number one. But number two, and I think, Stephen, this is very important. The Democrats, what the Democrats are spinning, I called it earlier in the show, the shiny button. Ooh, look at the shiny button. The Democrats' shiny button is the exit polls that show that Barack Obama, if the election were to be held today, would win in Wisconsin. That's great. Folks, go ahead and show off your shiny button. We got a problem. We got a problem. We need to deal with it. We also need to take a break, Stephen Henderson, so we're going to deal with that. 888-552-3595 if you'd like to join us. Much more on the other side. We're going to talk about Thaddeus McCotter. We're going to talk about the bridge to somewhere. Is the governor just going to do it his way? Well, there are every indication that by the end of next week, we will not only have that answer, we'll have that plan. We'll see what Stephen Henderson has to say about that and so much more. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Congress and I have certainly had our differences. I want to especially thank all the members who took a break from their exhausting schedule of not passing any laws to be here tonight.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your ride. We still got our eye on that overturned semi on M14 eastbound at 275. It's causing major problems. You want to avoid that area if you can. And that's causing heavy traffic from M14 eastbound between Sheldon Road and 275. Also, we got an accident has your right shoulder blocked on 75 southbound at Rochester Road. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 77 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy and 56. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 80, and it's currently 51 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
First shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Elizabeth Weidner joins us now.
The founders of our nation who wrote the Constitution specifically gave the federal government the power to speak with one voice for our nation with respect to immigration and foreign affairs. And so the Solicitor General, Don Verrilli, made this argument to the court yesterday saying, look, you know, the way that we treat non-citizens and nationals of other countries within our borders is a serious matter that has foreign affairs implications that affects everyone in the United States. So what Arizona or Alabama or Utah chooses to do in harassing people in its state so much so that they, as Arizona puts it, self-deport, that has implications for the country as a whole. And that's why individual states should not be setting immigration policy like Arizona.
On 1310 WDTW, unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tribbiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Tribbiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Now time to punch back in.
22 minutes after 8 o'clock, Stephen Henderson, the editorial page editor and host of American Black Journal, is my guest every Wednesday at this time, and he is on the other end of our line. We're going to switch topics now, only for the sake of time, and really, really want to get to the next two. First topic, Stephen, of course, the embarrassment that is Thaddeus McCotter. And I'm not sure you're aware, but I actually ran against him in 2006.
I actually knew that.
Well, good. I didn't do a lot of things right, but my research was pristine. I did debate him successfully, actually got him to melt down in public. I was very successful in a lot of ways. The most important way was, of course, that I held him accountable for not the things that he did do, but the things that he didn't do. All that being said, this is an amazing opportunity, and we're going to have his Democratic, what would have been his Democratic opponent on the show this Friday, Dr. Syed Taj, who's an amazing human being, a great guy. We're going to find out what kind of candidate he is soon enough. But this really does upset the entire political structure, and not only in the 11th Congressional District, but really in Southeast Michigan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this
puts a seat in play that no one ever imagined would be in play this year. I'm not sure I would say it's up for grabs. I think it's still, you know, if you look at the way it's been drawn, at minimum it's a 55% Republican district. You know, there are some people who will tell you it's actually closer to 57%. So I think even with Representative McConnor out of the race, there's a tough hill for Democrats to climb. But in terms of the campaign, Republicans now have to spend money on a seat that they probably could have, McConnor could have maybe spent $100,000 this campaign to keep that seat. Now you're looking at a much heftier bill, to try to first identify the candidate you want to get behind and then get people to vote for him. So that does change a lot of the sort of calculus. I mean, you know, money spent one place is money you can't spend somewhere else. What else does that affect in terms of the GOP strategy here in Michigan? It becomes even more important if, for example, Mitt Romney can't stay, close to the president in this state and the National Party decides to sort of pull back on that, then you've got less money floating around to try to keep that seat. So, I mean, it really changes the calculus in a way that will be fascinating to watch over the next couple of months. And it's intrigue that we weren't going to have just 2 weeks ago.
Well, no question. And it's interesting. Brooks Patterson, of course, yesterday announced that there would be a group of Republicans getting together today somewhere at some point to talk about what they're going to do. With one thing we do know is clear, Stephen, they weren't necessarily interested in bailing Thad McCotter out of this mess. And if you were a prominent Republican in the 11th Congressional District, you weren't running the Thad side on this issue.
Yeah, well, I think he's had a very odd relationship with the party, both in the state and nationally. And I think, if you look at it, here's a five-term congressman who, you never hear about in conversations about leadership, which you do with several other members of our delegation. You know, he decides he wants to run for president. The party won't even let him into the debates about that. And then, there was some spats over how his district was drawn. I mean, he hadn't really been treated that well, frankly, by the GOP. I don't know what that rift is about. I mean, he's not a foot soldier, I think, the way that a lot of people think he should be on that side, maybe. When he got into trouble, there wasn't anyone there sort of standing up saying, well, wait a second, let's help this guy out, which is sort of unfortunate, I think. You hate to see that kind of thing on either side of the aisle, but now I think that's to their disadvantage. I mean, this was somebody who had the seat, who had name recognition, would have been a shoe-in, even if they'd done him as a write-in, it would be easier than what they've got to do now. Now they're starting from scratch with just, I mean, it is very hard to predict who will emerge on that side and who will end up with the seat.
Right. Even the names that are emerging, we're not going to get into them now because it's just speculation at this point. It doesn't matter. It will a week from now. It really will. There will be a different conversation a week from now, and I'm sure we'll have it, Stephen. And
yeah, I'm not going to. Somebody will step up.
Absolutely. Somebody will. It's just now the dynamic changes. This whole write-in, people have no conception of how difficult this is. Very quickly, because we're almost out of time,
sure.
Do you want to mention the bridge? The governor certainly is sending the signals that he is ready to go around the legislature, and it seems that that is what he's going to do.
Oh, yeah. I think in the next week or so we're going to hear about what the plan is to get that bridge built and ignore the legislature, which I think will start a real firestorm between the Snyder administration and the Maroons, who I think almost certainly will file suit to stop that from happening, and maybe between Snyder and the legislature, which I think would have some right to feel disrespected. I mean, they said no to this, and he is going and saying, well, I'm the governor and I can do this without you. I happen to agree with the idea of building the bridge. But I think when you go and ask the legislature, you deal them into the conversation. And now to sort of shut them out is, it's a little odd. We haven't seen that before. So I'm not sure how that's going to play.
Well, not sure how it's going to play either. You know, this is one of those issues where we certainly know that. And again, this is the liberal in me, Stephen, so I like to always say that up front. I keep thinking about Southwest Detroit and the way this community has been disrespected, literally, sure, physically and emotionally beat up over a promise. And it's, yeah, something needs to be done for these folks.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that neighborhood where you're talking about this bridge is just sitting there in limbo. You know, you have trucks trundling through still, all kinds of places where they shouldn't be in Southwest, and then further down where the new bridge will be, you know, no one can sell their house because it's unclear what's going on. I mean, it really is time to give those folks some resolution, some sort of clarity about what's going to happen and what it means to them, and whether these jobs that you know, everyone's promising, if we do build the bridge, whether that will help people in that neighborhood. I mean, I think that's a really big part of this, is that you know, an economically distressed area might get a shot at a little bit of economic activity.
And the totally unfair to do this. We have literally 60 seconds left, but I'm going to throw it out there. Could this be a signal that Governor Snyder is going to be a one-term governor, that he only wants to be a one-term governor by taking this issue on this way?
Well, you know, I think that's always possible. I mean, he's somebody who has said before, re-election is not his priority. And he's not said he would only be one term, but he's always said, I'm going to do what I got to do, and if you don't want me for another 4 years, I'm fine with that. So certainly if he defies the legislature here, there could be some consequences, and that could be one of them.
All right. Well, we're going to leave it there until next week. Missed you last week. Glad we had you this week, and we'll look forward to the next one. Stephen Henderson, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Absolutely. See you next week,
Joe. You bet. Don't forget to check out the Free Press each and every day, as I do. As you all know, it's the homepage on my every system that I have, freep.com. Quick break here. When we come back, Lori Lamoran will be with us. An omnibus bill headed to the state legislature that, again, is an attack on women in the state of Michigan. Why? 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 I need your help. We'll come back. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your ride. We still got an eye on that overturned semi on M14 eastbound at 275. It's causing major problems. You want to avoid that area if you can. And that's causing heavy traffic from M14 eastbound between Sheldon Road and 275. Also, we got an accident that has your right shoulder blocked on 75 southbound at Rochester Road. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 77 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy and 56. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 80, and it's currently 51 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Not to worry, says one of Wall Street's biggest bankers, for we know what we're doing. No need for fussy regulators to get in our way. What they've been doing is turning their bank's investment division into a betting parlor, shoving billions of borrowed dollars into high-tech speculative trades based on fantasy projections. It worked, at first, but then the bets went bad, and the investment division's staggering losses now endanger the whole bank, which of course is deemed too big to fail. So, we taxpayers are on the hook. If this sounds like the same deja voodoo of the still-reverberating 2007 Wall Street collapse, it is. Only, it's 2012, and this high priest of high finance hokum is Jamie Dimon, CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, the nation's biggest financial conglomerate. He and his bank had been hailed as the epitome of Wall Street responsibility after the 2007 crash. because J.P. Morgan did not fail back then. Indeed, with the elegant and erudite Diamond at the helm, this powerhouse was favored with government subsidies and allowed to get even bigger. So Diamond and his high-tech gamblers were able to shoo off government regulators and plunge deeper into financial voodoo, resulting in a loss of at least $3 billion. Yet, the ever-charming Diamond, who is Washington's favorite Wall Streeter, even has a seat on the federal regulatory body overseeing the giant banks. How cozy! He's also been a leading lobbyist against sensible reforms in Congress to rein in mega bank excesses, including the essential need to unhitch us common customers and taxpayers from Wall Street's gambling scams. This is Jim Hightower saying, we must demand that Washington stop coddling these self-serving, too-big-to-fail banksters. For information and action, connect with banksterusa.org.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. It is 35 minutes after 8 o'clock. Let's actually be a little more specific. This is the most important conversation we have had with Planned Parenthood yet. But before we get to this discussion, I'm happy to say we have an open ready. So let's do it, Jeff.
Their reach matters.
And in a year where the most basic truths and access to help is as critical as it has ever been.
Many people in the news are talking about a war on women and others are denying it.
First Shift is proud to welcome to our airwaves an organization who continues to be the center of empowerment and honesty.
But certainly any objective look at the kinds of policies, etc., that some of the states are putting forward and being endorsed by the Republican candidate certainly would suggest that we don't think women are an important part of society.
And as they continue to provide services that save lives and provide a path to sanity.
First Shift proudly brings you the gift of Planned Parenthood.
And we do welcome back to First Shift today, Lori Lamoran, the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood in Mid and South Michigan. Lori, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Tony. We appreciate the opportunity to talk about this subject this morning.
I'm not being overly dramatic. I want to say this up front. I'm not one that has a tendency to do over-dramatization, but this is something that is significantly important, and I want this audience to understand that we need them to act today, Lori, not just listen. We need them to stand up. Explain to my audience what's going to happen tomorrow.
Actually, tomorrow the House committee is taking a look at what they are referring to as an omnibus bill that really is intended to shut down access to abortion here in Michigan, as well as dramatically interfere in the ability of doctors to make appropriate judgments for their patients and to put undue burdens on women in ways that are unprecedented and will make Michigan second only to Texas, I think, as an inhospitable place for women. And like you, Tony, there are times when I'm very concerned about what sorts of things are happening. But this is probably the most irresponsible piece of legislation that we have ever seen, and my disappointment is just astounding.
Yeah, again, this is not, I am not, and you are not being overly dramatic. In fact, drama doesn't even factor in. This is serious stuff, Lori. I want to point out, before we go any further, I want to point out that if people will go either to the Planned Parenthood Facebook page, which they can find on ours, but it's also on ours, and it's on my personal Facebook page. Desiree Cooper, who is the Director of Community and Media Relations for Planned Parenthood, has provided a link that will take you directly to your state lawmakers so that you can send them a note that basically says we need to make sure we take care of the women in our lives. So if you are looking to make, I can't make it any easier than Desiree's made it for you. And I'll be mentioning this throughout the rest of the day, this morning and throughout the day on when, as I'm online. Lori, we need people to step up today.
We do. I think that it has become easy for people to get very complacent as they think about abortion never touching their lives. And, you know, lawmakers will tout this as protecting women and hurting Planned Parenthood. But the truth is that we as Planned Parenthood are here only to make sure that our patients can get what they need in dire times. These legislators want to simplify life to a point that is absurd. They want there to be very black and white answers to things. And Lord help them if they ever have a loved woman in their life who comes up against a very difficult situation and has a physician look them in the face and says, I'm sorry, I can't help you. The Michigan legislature has tied my hands.
Yeah, and
I think the thing that is incredibly irresponsible is that they've put together this bill that contains very technical language that will affect 9 different elements of the Michigan Public Health Code, and they're ramming it through and ensuring that the legislators don't have a reasonable time to study the bill and understand the ramifications. And they're counting on legislators who are going into an election year and hoping for right-to-life support and having right-to-life stand over their shoulder and say, pull the lever, without really understanding what this bill will do. And that's what should appall us.
Well, there's no question, and there's no question that I can't imagine a female legislator voting in favor of this omnibus bill as presented. And I'm going to give them the numbers, but folks, again, I don't want you to get wrapped up in the technical aspects of this, and I'll explain it all again in a minute. But House bills 5711, 5712, 5713, and we're going to talk a little bit about what they will do in just a second. But folks, you need to understand that and listen to what Lori's saying. This isn't simply a matter of quote unquote doing the right thing or just about being pro-life. This is about literally preventing women from getting needed health care services, from actually getting them. This is about making sure that women that understandably have nowhere else to go will now have nowhere to go. Lori, people need to understand this isn't about the drama. It's about the reality of what this omnibus package would do to women.
That's exactly correct. For instance, it would all but shut the doors of virtually all the abortion providers in the state of Michigan based on nothing that has to do with women's rights or safety in any way. It would be an attack on doctors and would not allow physicians to make the sorts of decisions that they have to make in very difficult situations, sometimes to save the life of women. And it would also limit abortion services without any exception for a woman's health or safety. And the language is vague enough and has been so poorly vetted that it would cause absolute confusion for physicians to understand the way in which they can actually act in accordance with these laws, which, like in other states, will just make them feel as if to protect their license they can do nothing. And that is the very worst way, in my opinion. You know, good-thinking people can disagree about abortion. Many people need to follow their religious beliefs around this procedure, and we completely honor that. But it certainly would be more honorable, in our opinion, if people did it in a forthright and appropriate manner. This is a political move, and they don't care who gets caught in the crossfire. And God help them if one day it's their daughter or their wife or their sister. And that's the sort of thing that they can't even possibly understand the ramifications.
Well, you know, I what I'm thinking about today, first of all, I lost my mom some years back, Lori. I have 3 beautiful sisters who I absolutely adore. I have a wife who I absolutely adore. I think about the importance of the women in my life and how critical it is to me that, you know, they receive some semblance of respect. I look at something, and we haven't had a chance to talk about this today, but the Fair Pay Act, which has been ignored in the Senate yesterday. Yeah. We continue to attack women in this country as if they don't matter. And I don't understand why men aren't outraged. You know, I ask myself, you know, I see what this Republican legislature here in the state of Michigan has done to teachers. And I've asked the question out loud. You know, maybe none of them went to school. Maybe none of them had a teacher. So now I wonder, do these people have mothers? Do they have sisters? Do they have wives? Do they not care about basic access to health care? What's wrong with these people?
I think, Tony, it's very easy for people to look at abortion care and frankly, some basic reproductive health care as something that doesn't affect them. Many folks have their precious and revered Blue Cross card in their wallet, and they know that these sorts of things wouldn't really bother them. And many of them have financial resources that if they were to need these services, and in the state of Michigan they were unattainable, they could get somewhere else. What many of these people simply don't care about are the specifics and very dramatic and sticky and complicated things that people have happened in their lives, and they're perfectly content to tie their hands and impose their own religious beliefs on people so that they really don't have the opportunity to do the right thing in their own minds, and that, in fact, could save their life. You know, this bill would make a woman carry a fetus without a brain to term because it would ban all abortions after 20 weeks. And it'd be very easy to say, gee, people shouldn't be able to do it that late in pregnancy, but there are dire circumstances under which very wanted and loved pregnancies come into peril. And this would tie physicians' hands to help that woman. And I think that is unconscionable.
Well, I think it's unconscionable as well, Lori Lamoran. And let me just make this 100% clear to people. For a lot of people, this is a quote-unquote religious issue. I care deeply about my Christian upbringing. I pray every day, Lori. I pray for a lot of things. I especially pray for the ignorant who use religion as a way, as a tool to harm people, because there are people, like legislators, that use religion to harm people. This is one of the ways they do it.
I think that's right, and I think we wouldn't abide it in any other part of our life, but somehow in when it comes to abortion and reproductive health care, the fact that my beliefs may allow for this in the context of my faith with my family and my God means nothing. And I think that that's the part that saddens me. This whole thing has left me sleepless for days.
The ramifications
of what's in here are really not understood.
Yeah, this is breaking my heart. Lori, I'm going to have to ask you, can you stay with us a little longer?
Yes, I can.
I appreciate that. We just need to get to a break. I don't want to end it here. So I appreciate that. Lori Lamoran with us from Planned Parenthood. We're going to, again, everything is on the Facebook page, folks. All you need to go there and literally just click on it, and it takes you to exactly where you need to go. Can you step up for us, please? Can you please step up for us on this? We have today. We have today to do this. We'll get to more of this on the other side. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trivia.
President Obama wanted to move the dinner to the Kennedy Center this year, but the Republicans wanted to keep it here at the Hilton, so they compromised, and here we are at the Hilton.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Professor Ian Robinson, I want to welcome you to First Shift.
We haven't seen anything like this since the American Association of University Professors way back in the day formed in order to, you know, articulate and defend the idea of academic freedom. Because back in those times, if professors, faculty tried to teach courses that seriously address the interests of what we would nowadays call the 99%, they were quite likely to be fired from their university positions, because the power of the business community was such that they often sat on the university boards, or they had such power in the legislatures that if it was a public university, they could arrange to, through the regents or whatever the governing body of the public university was, to have those folks fired. So we fought for, and over the years built up, a pretty strong principle of academic freedom. It got violated in the Cold War days, the McCarthy era in the 50s, but since then we haven't seen that kind of effort by legislatures and individual politicians on the right to reach in and actually, you know, changing, violating the principle of academic freedom by reaching into people's syllabus and trying to tell them what they can and can't teach on the penalty of major loss of funding.
On 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, folks. Pleasure to be with you. It is 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Lori Lamoran, the president of Planned Parenthood of Mid and South Michigan, is with us. An omnibus package of bills headed to the state legislature tomorrow. Thursday. We need some of you to come to Lansing. Lori, let's explain where we need them to go and what we need them to do.
Well, tomorrow the House Health Policy Committee will take this up. And if it passes out of committee, it'll go to the floor of the House. The idea is to ram this through without real considerable read or consideration and appropriate timing. And we're fearful that it will pass the House. We have no idea what would happen at this point in the Senate, and hope that Governor Schneider would understand the folly of trying to amend the health code to this extent without appropriate timing. So I think you know, now is the time. People have become very complacent. But if the women listeners out there do not want Michigan to become Texas, we have our political website that we would send people to, www.miplannedparenthood.org, that takes them to our Planned Parenthood Advocates of Michigan political website, and that will help them directly link to messages, sending messages to their legislature. And this is the time to do it.
Again, folks, if you can get up to Lansing tomorrow, where you really want to be at 9 a.m. is in room 519 of the Anderson House office building, which is at 124 North Capitol Avenue in Lansing. Anybody that needs this information, just send me an email. I'll get it to you. We've got this stuff posted to the Facebook page. I want to thank Desiree again for doing that. It's all there. Now, what I really need you to do is, beyond writing your lawmakers and expressing your serious concern about taking this legislation forward, is to share this with everybody in your network. I don't care if your network is 2 people or 2 million. I need you to do this. This is critical, critical action. I know we ask a lot of you, but this is one of those times where you can and must make a difference. Lori, I'm going to put it this way. If you have a woman in your life that you love, I'll just leave it there. You need to be opposed to this omnibus package of bills, period.
Yeah, there's just no two ways about it. This will make Michigan among the most inhospitable states, for women. And I think that's the place that we want to all consider. And everyone that has become complacent, put on a hot pink shirt tomorrow and make the hours drive to Lansing and show your support for ensuring that women can get what they need in the confines of their relationship with their physician and under their own faith. That's what this is really about. And it's a scary thing if this passes. We will have life as we know it will change. And though some people think that some of these issues don't touch them, they in fact do and will more often than we are happy for. And
yeah, no question.
It's a dire time.
No question. Lori, I want to thank you for the little extra time today. Of course, we'll be in touch and we'll be back next Wednesday and hopefully with some good news. I just want people to stand up. This isn't about drama. This is about reality. So let's do the right thing. Lori Lamoran, once again, thanks for being with us. Lori, we'll visit again real soon.
Thank you, Tony.
You bet. All right, quickly, because we've just got to break for the day in a few minutes here. Let me remind you, the Sierra Club tomorrow has their last event of the season. Live Raptors, What We Can Learn from Birds of Prey at Birmingham Unitarian Church on Woodward Avenue in Bloomfield Hills. Again, this will be the last program of the season. They take the summer off. They'll be back in September. But in the meantime, 6:30 to 9 o'clock tomorrow at the Birmingham Unitarian Church. And make sure that you go. The Renew American Expo. Renew America Expo. That's this Saturday, June 9th, from 10 to 6. I just got an email from Jenny Chapman, who was with us last Friday and talked about that. They've got more stuff every day, more stuff to add to the list of things that you will enjoy that day. And don't forget about the raffle. They're going to be giving away $1,000 prizes, so you'll want to do that. It's going to be at the United Food and Commercial Workers Hall at 876 Horace Brown Drive in Madison Heights. I will be there. I'm not sure what time I'm going, but I will be there on Saturday. I plan to spend a couple hours there. Looking forward to it. Want to remind you as well, Father's Fest 2012 is this Sunday, June 10th, from noon till 4 at Star JC Park. It's $5 per family, not per family member, per family. If you want more information, just send me an email, and I will get you more information. It's that simple. And I believe that's it for announcements for today. I want to remind you, if you have something coming up and you want me to announce it, you just simply need to send me an email, tony@thetonyshow.org, and I'm happy to share that information with people. There is a lot going on. There's no question about it. Even, you know, because we have an election year coming up, the summer's not going to be as quiet as perhaps some of them are. A lot of people take summers off, don't really have the luxury of doing that this year. That's okay, because we can also have fun while being political, can we not? I'm sorry, I'm a little somber today. This Planned Parenthood conversation really bothers me. This idea, you know, folks, I don't understand why, you know, why people have to paint Planned Parenthood as something they're not. They're not a baby-killing factory. I mean, I actually get emails that tell me that. Folks, I've been to more events where I've seen people protesting Planned Parenthood and holding up those atrocious pictures. I get where you're coming from. I understand it. What I don't understand is, what do you expect the women that don't have access to health care to do? What do you expect them to do? Where do you expect them to get that health care? You don't want changes in our health care system. You want free enterprise to rule. But what about women that don't have access to health care? Where do they turn if they don't turn to Planned Parenthood? Answer that question. Answer that question. Where do they turn? You can't have it always, folks. You just can't. How sad it is. How sad it is that some of you live in such a small bubble that you can't allow. You can't allow for the reality of life and then to hide behind your religion, which is really sad. That's very sad that for religious reasons you have a certain perspective. Do you think you're fooling anybody except for yourselves? Do you really think you're fooling anybody? Shame on you. Shame on you for using religion, of all things, to hide behind your own fear. No one forces you to make these decisions, and you should not be judging others for the decisions that they have to make. I've said this a million times. Whether you're a man or a woman, the decisions you make are between you and your God. period, between you and your God. Why can't you just accept that? I'll leave it there. All right. That's it. Tomorrow we got a great show, I promise. Some good stuff coming up, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. Kevin Moore, Teamsters Local 299. Susan Demas will be with us as well. Always good stuff when she's on. We really, I mean, really happy with our regular guests and, you know, lots of other things to do. Anthony and Jeff, thanks so much. I got crazy day today, but if you need me, I'll be in the office a little later on. In the meantime, all I ask, as I do every day, is that you be well.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your roadways, we got a new accident over on 94 westbound. Just after East Outer Drive, it's blocking your right shoulder. It's causing stop-and-go traffic from 8 Mile. And you also want to use some caution because there's debris across all lanes. Also, you want to avoid that accident over on M14 at 275 where you have that overturned semi. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 77 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy and 56. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 80, and it's currently 51 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank